Hey, bitch. It's me, Sarah, from Survivor, Cagayan, Game Changers, and Winners at War. Whoop, whoop. And I just wanted to stop in and tell you that me and Wyatt love listening to your podcast. And I'll tell you what, he was more excited about being the freak of the week than he was. Than he was about me being on Winners at War. Anyway, he's got a little message for you.
Bryce, I am so flattered by the Freak of the Week and just loving your podcast that I schedule my next tattoo, and I'm going to get some purple pants put on there for you, bud.
Barf. Anyway, hey, we're so proud of you. You're killing it. Keep killing it. We love you. And it's a purple pants podcast.
It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Welcome, 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 and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I hope this podcast finds you safe and well. It's a very crazy time out here, so I just wish that, you know, all my listeners, their family, and everyone is staying safe and doing well. So welcome to this week's episode. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. We go together, because you know if you listen to this podcast, then that means we go together. Woo! Chile is all I have to say is woo, Chile. It's a lot. It is definitely a lot going on. But before we get into all of the hoo, la, blah that's going on, I just want to remind you guys, if you could subscribe to my podcast, yes, on Apple Podcasts, if you could give me a review, write a rating, let the world know what you think, good, bad, or indifferent. I really love to read your feedback because it helps me motivate and push the podcast to where it needs to be. You know, if you don't like something, let your baby boy know. If you love something, let your baby boy know, okay? I love the reviews. The only review I don't like is from Bob from the Midwest. But anyway, we ain't even gonna spend much time on her. What's poppin', Purple Pants Posse? What's been going on? What y'all been up to? I know it's a lot going on, and trust me, we will get into that in this podcast. But on a regular note, I want to know, what have you guys been doing? What you been up to? Me, busy as a quarantine bee, as always. I had a lot of stuff to get done this weekend, and you know, baby boy was just doing a lot. But it was important for me this weekend, with everything going on, to just take some time and like hang out with some friends. So like on Sunday, I was able to have like a little picnic down by the water and just really kind of decompress with some close friends of mine, which I think is so important and very much so needed for everyone to do, to be able to have a safe space with people that you can talk to, people that you can decompress with, people that you can argue with, people that you can yell with, but in a very loving, loving, loving way. So that's really what I was up to this weekend, besides all the madness that was going on. But I'm really excited because I have a great episode for you guys this week. So let me give you the rundown of what's popping on this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. We got the church announcements. On this week's menu, we've got Spencer Bledsoe, my Cagayan brother. And we touch on a lot of different things. You know, where he's been, what he's up to. We talk about some Cagayan beef and just mental health. And just like, you know, what Survivor means to a lot of us. I've got the killing of George Floyd. And you know, we got a lot to unpack there. I'm also covering Insecure because you know that's my show. And we've got the Purple Pants Premonitions. We've also got our Purple Pants Picks. We got Advice with Bryce. We got Bob's Message. And you know, baby boy got a Freak of the Week for you. So before we jump into this podcast, you know your baby boy, after this week and weekend, you know baby boy got to be wetting his whistle. And you know me, I'm wetting my whistle, okay? To Little Tito's. And I have some crayon pineapple juice. Well, ooh, baked bag is so good. So it is delicious. Hold on, wait. Listen, baby boy got to wet his whistle after everything that's going on, okay? It's my little release. But listen, let's get into this podcast.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
On this week's church announcements, I just wanted to remind everyone that I put out a special sequester podcast on Friday. And your baby boy has putting in a lot of time editing and making sure that I can give you a great podcast. And so I really uncover what, you know, my experience was like on sequester. I break down what sequester is like. And I had a number of the survivor contestants that participated in sequester, like the War Dog, Kelly Wentworth, Jatia, John Carroll, Chelsea Walker, Lauren Ashley Beck. So it really is a great podcast. So if you have not listened to it, listen, y'all better go and check it out. And also for that matter, you know, check out the other previous podcast that I've done with Wendell, which was really great, and the one with Chris Underwood. Your baby boy has really been trying to do his thing on the editing side, really cutting things down, you know, really streamlining the podcast to give you guys the best product that I can. So please, if you have not, check out those podcasts and give me some feedback. I would greatly appreciate it. Next on the church announcements, I just wanted to touch on the Purple Pants podcast interns. So a while back, I had let you guys know I'm looking for some Purple Pants podcast interns, and email me so we could get it popping. And I have to say, I was truly overwhelmed with the amount of like response that I received in it. I'm like, oh my God, my Purple Pants posse is really showing out. So one, I just wanted to thank everyone that sent me an email wanting to be a part of the Purple Pants podcast and wanting to be an intern. From the bottom of my purple heart, I greatly appreciate it. And so another thing that I was up to last week, Jack and I were conducting some Purple Pants podcast intern interviews, and we like have narrowed it down to some couple of semi-finalists. And so in the next week or so, we'll have definitely our Purple Pants podcast intern. And I am just trying to, you know, work on this podcast, work on my craft, and really give you guys the best podcast that I can give you. Because, you know, this is an intimate space. You know, we get intimate on the Purple Pants podcast. And I'm at the point where it's okay to ask for help. And if some of my Purple Pants posse wants to help, I love it. And to everyone that I was not able to respond to, or for anyone that I interviewed and I was not able to pick you, I do apologize. But listen, that don't mean nothing. Listen, as we continue to grow, baby boy gonna need some more help. So don't feel like I left you out. I got you covered. And when the time comes that I need some more help, I will absolutely reach out to you guys. But I just wanted to put that on the announcements. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone that responded, participated in interviews. And then, you know, soon, thanks to my Purple Pants interns, okay, we out here doing big things. Your baby boy is trying to glow up, okay? Glow up. But all right, that's going to conclude this week's church announcements. Now let's get into this podcast, okay? The meat and potatoes.
It's a man who, it's a man you, meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you, meat and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
All right, guys, I'm so excited for this. What I got for you, I got some juicy something on this menu. I'm so excited to have my friend, my Kagayan brother, Spencer Bledsoe on my podcast. So welcome, Spencer, to the Purple Pants podcast.
Woo! Oh my God. Thank you. I'm hearing all my juiciness for you.
Yes, I'm so excited. Now, I'm so excited, one, to talk to you. Two, the things that we have to talk about are so exciting. And I'm so excited for the world to really get to understand our friendship, because I don't really think that people
know. Yeah, that's
how
true. It's slept on, you know. We didn't ever even meet in Kagayan.
I know. Okay, I was mad about that, but I'm gonna put that to the side. But yeah, and even though like we did not meet in Kagayan, and then at some point in Kagayan, you know, I had like not a huge falling out, but when I had my falling out with Garrett, I somewhat like lumped you into
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Well, when I heard like that, like you were like staying at his house and I was like not invited, then I was like F Spencer. But then I think that you had heard through like Alexis, and then you had reached out to me and you're like, I don't want any parts of this price, like Garrett invited me. And I
remember not understanding any of the dynamics of what went down.
Well, it was a lot that went down, and so that, like, you know, obviously like my first survivor friend was Garrett,
right?
And like I always heard of, like, before anything, I always heard like you will make lifelong friends out of Survivor. And me being like a gay black man, I always struggle with like making like meaningful male friendships.
And
I always, like, you
before.
Know right and I always it was like, you know, I always had female friends, but I never really had like male friends that I felt like that I could like just like tell them everything,
right?
And so Garrett was like one of like my first friends from Survivor. Like, you know, we were at Ponderosa, we went on a trip together, and like I really was so excited because, like, you know, we had created this bond that I was like, wow, this is so amazing. And even after we got got back, Garrett was like, you know, hey, you, when you come out to LA for the reunion, like, you're spending a week at my house and I'm taking you around LA and like, you're having such a fun time. And like, I was just open with Garrett about like everything, like my financial situations, like, you know how I'm just a poor little old boy, like, it's just whatever. And so Garrett was like, I got you. And then like a week leading up to like our finale, Garrett was like, he called me and was like, hey, so what are you doing like for finale? And I'm like, bitch, what am I doing for a finale? I had already requested off an extra week. And so I was very in tune to what he was saying. So I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I had talked to
Okay, here's your first issue. You said, I don't know. Why didn't you address it right then and there?
Well, because okay, Dr. Spencer.
Well, look, I'm Garrett's neighbor and I'm Garrett's friend. So I do feel like I have to, you know, be fair here.
So, and that's fine. And I was Garrett's friend. So I will, like, because we had for months, Spencer, talked about what this week would be like, the things that we were going to do, like all of the places that he was going to show me. Right. So all of a sudden that like these plans that we've talked about, and again, I'm not bashing Garrett. Like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm bashing Garrett. Although like the love and respect that I had for Garrett at that time, like, it no longer exists for me because like, I just feel that anyway. But
yeah, it's not like a negative. It's more just like you had built up this incredible positive on the back.
Right. And like, I was like,
you can't bond closely with guys. And then that dissipated.
Right. And dissipated in such a nasty way. So we talked for months, Spencer, the whole season. And then the week of that, I'm like, you know, planning to come out, like, we have this conversation and he's like, so what are you going to like, what are you doing? And so I, in my mind, I was like, and I, who? What?
Right.
So like, I was just like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm going to just fly in and fly out. And mind you, I purposely said that, fly in and fly out. And I was like waiting for his response. And his response was like, oh, okay. Well, like, well, we'll definitely get to hang out. And so I was just like immediately crushed. Like, I was just like, I can't believe, like, and then, so not to add on to my crushness. Okay. Like, I was crushed, but I was like, okay, whatever. It is what it is. Then I talked to Alexis, and Alexis tells me that she and her friend are staying at Garrett's house.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells me that you're staying at Garrett's house. And so I was like, what the? And so I immediately, and mind you, just, I was, so one thing about me, you know, I always tell my Purple Pants Posse, Spencer, I'm on a road for a better Bryce. So I am always constantly like reevaluating myself and I'm trying to just grow.
I think anyone should. That's good.
And so, you know, I wasn't on the road back then. So when I found out that information, I immediately took to my Twitter and I was just like, it's funny to see that how people did on Survivor, like, you know, basically equivalent to their actual friendship.
Equates
to their actual friendship.
Yeah.
And so I think from that, like, obviously Garrett saw that and you saw that. And I think maybe even like Alexis had reached out to you. And so that you had called me and you're like, hey, Brian, I just want to let you know that like, I don't have anything to do with that. I love you. And that, like, you know, Garrett invited me, and like, you, like, honestly, I'm going to stay out there and like do whatever. And so, like, just that was just like my issue with Garrett.
Well,
so
something good can come out of it in the sense that you can, you know, tweet some truth, because that is kind of an issue. I feel like people respond way too much to not only, you know, your performance on the show, but perceptions of you from the show. And it's like, you're whenever you meet survivors or whenever you're bonding with people from your cast, it's like you're starting on this foundation that whether it's, you know, really real or not is questionable.
No, yeah, definitely. And so, like, you know, Garrett called me and just like made up this like, oh, I my apartment's not that big, and like, you know, Spencer wanted to come, and like, I'm like, okay, all fine and dandy, but like, bitch, we talked about this in Thailand. Like, you were the one that was like, you have to come out, and like, and just all of the things that I like the friend that I was to Garrett at that time, I just felt like
when he needed
it was
a
just
friend.
It was just a huge, and I was that friend. I was that sounding board for him every night. I was that like positive reinforcement. And anyway, it just was a slap in the face. And so like, we've never recovered. Like, we've reached out, we've talked to each other, but we have never recovered from.
Have you recovered? Just to clarify.
So I have not. And I'll be just honest. Well, I'm just saying, I have not. But what I will say is yes and no, because I feel like the universe gives you like positives and negatives. And although like at that time, like Spencer was like the greatest friend ever. But, you know, life moves on. I moved on. And then, like, you know, the Survivor universe brought me Wendell. And Wendell is like the epitome of a true friend. Wendell is like a brother to me. And it's like, yeah, it's just weird because like that's the relationship I thought I had with Garrett. And so it just is what it is. But
you
like,
never I don't know what it will be, I guess, for sure, until you find out what it is.
And I even like reached out to Garrett not that long ago. Like I texted him. And I didn't, and mind you, I guess because I'm just, I don't know, because I don't ever feel like he's taking accountability. So like, I feel like we mend fences and then I'm like that crazy ex-wife that like, I'm just like, that ain't good enough. But like, so it's just weird. Like, I just felt like I had reached out to him and he just gave me this like generic, like, you know, like, you'll always be my brother. Like, no, that's not really what I'm talking about. So we're like, we're not in a good place in my mind because like, I am still hurting. And even, I don't even know if you can hear the hurt in my voice talking about this. It just really was just like such a slap in the face to me.
Yeah, I hear you. I know I can't feel what you feel, but I can imagine. And yeah, I know it's a tough thing because like the bond that you're talking about is definitely an intense one that hurts to lose or hurts to have jeopardized.
Right. And especially, and I guess for me, and maybe, and I can understand where he doesn't understand where I'm coming from, but like for me,
well, he's also, he like, I mean, he's been wrapped up in his own stuff too. I don't know
for sure. And I get that. And I want to sympathize for him. And I guess where my heart hurts about that is that like, I'm not his friend that I could like, you know, be just his friend in like all of that that he's going through. And I guess in truthful, what I'm really saying is like, I guess that hurts the most for me is because I know like I've spent an infinite amount of time with Garrett. Like, and so I know Garrett and I understand and I get it. But
when's the last time you saw him?
I haven't saw him since reunion.
So that was 6 years ago. That's a really long time. I would be very skeptical that you know Garrett now. You know, maybe reaching out again.
Very much so true. But like I, and even through it all, through these years, I've always been the one to reach out to him. I've always been the one to like, but at the same time, it's like every time that I reach out, Spencer, it's like I get this same like, and I'm just like, no.
Well, you don't need it to work with Garrett. I mean, it's not.
Your life is good. But it is. But in my heart, like, you know, if I don't know, and maybe this is my downfall, Spencer, is that like, if I meet someone and we have a bond, if we have a connection, like, I feel like we are like, I don't know. I don't ever want it to go sour. And so I guess it just bothers me that like,
you
know,
always stay in bloom.
Right. And I guess like, you know, but I guess flowers grow, they bloom. And then they like, you know, sometimes like if it's not an annual, it go down. But anyway, enough said about Garrett. I love Garrett. I mean, well, an annual and a perennial is a flower.
Oh, the flowers.
So, yeah.
I should know more about flowers. My girlfriend.
You should.
Loves
you should
flowers.
Have
I'm
a green
sitting
thumb.
Next to him right now.
You should. But enough about Mr. Garrett. But nothing but.
Yeah, we've given Garrett at least 10 minutes.
Yes,
here.
I know. Because I didn't know he was about to go on this journey. And like, I have a lot of built up. But I wish nothing but the best for him. I wish that our friendship was not where it's at. But I'm at, like, you know, I'm fine with however it is. I wish that nothing but happiness.
I think it's a good segue into, and if you wanted a different segue, just edit what I'm saying out and do your own thing. But like, I mean, he recently tweeted about how he never got over his pain with Survivor, and whether it's friendships falling apart, friendships evolving, relationships, or what, I think we're starting to talk more and more about the effects of Survivor on contestants, how things unfold over the years, and it's a really interesting conversation.
Definitely. And when I have to be honest, because you know I'm very honest with my Purple Pants posse. When I saw that tweet of Garrett, I like rolled my eyes to it. Mm-hmm. Just because I just thought it was just convenient for him.
Yeah. It is. It definitely might be
right, you know,
for him.
Tony winning Survivor, another Kageon plug. You making an entrance back into social media, another Kageon plug. Like, that's how I looked at it. And so again, I'm very bipolar when it comes to Garrett. Like, it's like I love him dearly, and then it's just like I'm like, ugh, whatever. But anyway,
I just think, and this can be the last thing I say about it, but I just think people change. You know, we're constantly changing, and it would be a shame to assume something about Garrett or how he would respond, you know, to you reaching out after not seeing him or hearing from him for so long, you know?
That is true. But Maya Angelou, if there's one thing about Maya Angelou, she has taught me and told me that if somebody shows you who they really are, you should believe them. Mm. And I just, and that sticks with me because it's like never would I ever do that to anybody that I called a friend. But the reason why I'm so excited to talk to you is because you have made a splash back into the social medias. You back up on the Twitters. You back up on the Instagram. I'm yes. like, the only thing I'm waiting for is Spencer to have an OnlyFans.
A what?
A OnlyFans. Do you know what an OnlyFans is, Spencer?
No, please enlighten me.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, during this quarantine time, you can make a lot of money. So basically, an OnlyFans is, it's not like Pornhub. Although, some people, but listen, follow me though.
I'm with you.
Some people like post porn there. Other well-known people may just post more risque photos of themselves. Okay. That's not necessarily porn, and people like subscribe to it. So, I mean, I know you want Cameo, and I'm just saying, if you want Spencer, and just only because I'm your friend, you know, I volunteer and manage your OnlyFans if you want Spencer.
I appreciate the offer. I would have to actually look into how much of porn really is. On a serious note, because I on a serious note, and maybe this is too much. If it is, you cut it. But I think porn is one of the most destructive forces to hit humanity. And in 20 years, people will look back and be amazed at the damage we did to ourselves with it.
This wasn't on my topic, but I agree. I can't tell you how many like relationships or like people that I know that feel like they are like sterile to like intimacy because of like porn.
Yep.
And you know, like full disclosure, I am like an outie child. Spencer, I don't know what the hell we was talking about how we're getting down these things, but for
I'm all for it.
For me, like, sex is great. You know, I ain't never gonna pass it up. But for me, I always and forever, mind you, I'm like a forever hopeless romantic and all of that stuff.
Yep.
But for me, intimacy is way more on my list than actual sex. A multitude of reasons. Number one, I'm a gay man, so sex ain't just like how heterosexual sex is.
Right.
Bitch, you got to prepare for the sex when you come into gay sex. But also, like, I just choose intimacy so much more. And like, you know, just
y'all have like, the frequency of sex down to a science too. It's like holy shit with Grindr and all these apps. It's remarkable, truly.
Chalet. Now, mind you, I'm not on the Grindrs and I'm not on none of that stuff because I do hold myself to a slight bit of a higher standard, but yeah, it's like, you know, I choose intimacy before sex, always and forever. And I feel that like a lot of the times porn, it really kind of like ruins, like it sterles people. And then it's like, they're not even attracted to like their own partner because like they rather like masturbate. So like, it's just like this weird psyche that we're in.
It's bad on a lot of levels. Like, I don't know if I would go as far as to say I like intimacy more than sex, but it does certainly, you know, blur or I guess create a line between the two or dissociate intimacy from the whole thing.
Definitely. And I feel like intimacy is a part of it. Like, it's foreplay. Like, listen, you ain't about to just do what you listen. You got to lick and like, okay. But anyway, we ain't even going to get up. We're not going to let porn.
You don't want to go any further down this rabbit hole?
Yes. I'm going to keep it cute. But what was it like and what was your reasoning for like making your splash back into social media? Like, and the last time that I can remember like hearing from you was, I know when you did that podcast with Rob.
Yeah, but, that was pretty much the last time I was on the grid.
Right.
I mean, basically it has more to do with why I chose not to be on social media than with why I chose to be back. You know, there's not any particularly special timing right now, although I am excited to offer free meditation during the quarantine, which I'm doing. And you can sign up for that, by the way. But
Where can I sign up for it at real quick, though, since we don't?
Just go to my most recent Instagram or Twitter post, and there's a doodle poll where you can pick a time. It's 6:30 to 8 a.m. every morning Pacific time. And then I'm going to switch to a live one in a bit. But anyway, I wasn't trying to just get a plug here. I had a point.
No, but I'm curious because I want to take one.
Yeah, oh, please come. You can come to any of them, and I'll send you the Zoom details. It's Zoom sessions for now, but I think I'll switch to Instagram Live in a couple weeks.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, just trying to, you know, get people in the door because a lot of times people don't know where to start. They, you know, at this point, it's not like meditation is obscure. You know, it's very popular, and a lot of people have a sense that they want to do it. It's been on their list, but they just haven't had that kick in the butt to start. And they also might not know where to get just a basic lesson about what it's about and what you do. And so that's what this is.
And so I always say, like, I've tried meditation before, and I don't know if it ever was my zhuzh. Mm-hmm. And just because maybe where I was at with life, but what I had to realize was that, like, I will preface this by saying is that, like, I always wanted what people got out of it. And not so much like, oh, I want to meditate, but
you don't want to just sit there with your eyes closed for hours on end.
I mean, you trying to get intimate with me, Spencer? Okay. Listen, I said, okay.
Meditation is intimate.
Yes. No, for sure. And yes, but not that I'm opposed to that, but I guess the reward for me about meditation was that, like, the clarity, the like the what people get out of it. And so I definitely attempted before, but I guess it and again, when we talk about intimacy, it is a connection, it's a relationship. You got to be like, you got to feel connected to, like, and so I think that at that time I was not there. But what I had to realize, and the more and more I have come into myself, and like these last 4 years have been like phenomenal for me, just like really realizing that, like, and mind you, I don't want to sound like fooling myself, but one, like, Bryce, you that bitch. And you've been that bitch, and you knew that you've been that bitch. So it's like being
and more you bring people up. You really are a healer in a lot of ways.
And so that is and right. And me actually, like, people have said that to me. You've said that to me a multitude of times, Spencer. And I always am just like, oh yeah. But me actually, like, accepting that and moving forward with it.
Yeah.
And so the more I got comfortable with myself is when I realized, like, I don't necessarily meditate, but I can reach that when I like run. When I run, it seems like the world stops. And that's when I was just like, well, maybe, like, and just like, and I was sharing with you before we even got on, I'm like, you know, I've started this like cleaning business, and I enjoy cleaning, like, you know, and when I clean, it seems like the world stops. And so I just like, and again, I always was trying to get to that place of like where people are when they meditate, but I realized that, like, everything isn't for everybody, and you have to find your own lane. And what I realized is that, like, and finding my own lane, like, you know, running for me is a form of meditation.
It's meditative.
Is a form of meditation. And so that's just where I'm at with it. And so, but where I'm more self-aware of myself, and obviously, like, taking a meditation class with you, I feel like, oh, I would be able to get to, like, I have the utmost respect, and I know that you are a, like, real friend. And I feel like I know that I would be way more receptive than, like, the things that I was trying 4 and 5 years ago.
Yeah, I hear you. And you're right that running is meditative. I think you're also right that meditation isn't for everyone in the sense of sitting down on the cushion. And not everyone, you know, that's just not the right path for everyone at the stage they're at, or with the, you know, the their, I guess, I don't know why I'm stumbling for a word, but
where they're at, and like the place that they're at in life, and like where they personally are at. Because, like,
go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, you have to be self-aware, and you've got to be like, you have to be able to listen to yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you are, like, self-conscious, if you aren't, like, able to, like, know who you are, then I feel like sometimes it might be a little problematic for you to meditate.
Well, because
maybe not. But, like, tuning into yourself and like, really, like, and I feel like that could be, you know, something that you could work on. And that is a part of the meditation process. But, you tell me, because I might just be talking just crazy. But I just...
Yeah, so, no, I think you're right that the sitting is not necessarily the right next step for everybody. I don't know if it's specifically people who don't yet know who they are who shouldn't take that step, because really meditation is showing you that none of us know who we are.
No, very much so.
But I'm thinking more, you know, if you're having a lot of mental distress, because meditation was first introduced in the U.S. through a medical and a scientific lens. It's what validated meditation for us in the 70s and 80s and turned it from what was a fringe activity in the 60s to what's now, you know, actually pretty mainstream and like $1 billion-plus industry with smartphone apps and everything. Medicine and the validation of meditation in a medical context, you know, made that shift, but it also stripped meditation of its religious roots and of its initial goal, which is to destroy your sense of self, right? It's literally the practice of realizing what you really are, which is not a self. It's not Bryce. It's not Spencer. And that's super existentially threatening and often gives people difficulties. It actually, meditation can relieve anxiety, but on this existential level, it can produce anxiety. And it's, you know, something that people don't talk about hardly at all. But if you think this sounds like something that could tip you off balance in your mental health, then meditation probably isn't for you. But what I was going to say is that even though there is that, you know, exact form sitting on the cushion of meditation that isn't for everyone, there's there's a sense of meditation that is for everyone insofar as meditation is just about tuning in to what's already there. It's about noticing right. your internal experience. And that's where you get to your point about self-awareness. And it, you know, it can help you find that sense of who you are because you're aware of your own internal reactions and what's going on throughout your day, rather than just being, you know, completely fixated on the external, blind to the internal forces that are driving you. And so I think anything that makes you aware of your body, that makes you aware of your own internal world is meditative, and running and physical activities are very much included in that because you're in that flow state where you're very aware of your body. You're not just, you know, brooding on some neurotic thing, right? You're present.
Yeah.
And you were present 100%. When I ran with you. You were, you got us a photo. You were feeling out everyone's vibes.
I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a funny story. Spencer came to Philly. And again, I don't know. That for me did not cement our friendship, but that cemented for me that Philly trip that I unequivocally, and I might be saying that word wrong, but that I unequivocally loved you, Spencer. That like you were somebody that I truly cared about. Like Spencer, like I don't know, Spencer was working on a project and he was like, "Hey Bryce, yeah. I'm gonna come to Philly for a day. Can I stay at your house?" I'm like, "Absolutely." Like that actually turned into him like staying at my house for a week and
getting essentially therapy from you.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but
I was it was a hard time for me. I was at a relationship falling apart and there was a lot of chaos, and you were a tremendous friend for me. And I agree, you know, it didn't cement the friendship. We were already friends, but it deepened it tremendously.
Absolutely. And there was like two things that stand out for me from that trip was when we went running. And at first I was like, I didn't really know like how much of a runner you were. So I was like, all right, Spencer, let's just like warm up and we'll walk. And then like halfway through the walk, Spencer's like, well, bitches, we gonna run? I'm like, well, let's run. And so then, you know me, as vain as I am, I'm like, Spencer, we got to get a photo. And Spencer's like, yeah, let's ask this guy right here. I'm like, mm-mm, Spencer, I don't feel his vibe. And I'm like, when I feel the vibe of somebody that could take a good photo, I'll let you know. And we randomly came across this, like, I was like, ooh, I think it was a guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Spencer, I like him. He gonna do it. And then he like ended up knowing about Survivor and all of that like good stuff. And it just like, you know, our photo happened to be so epic. And then another thing that is one thing that stands out for me. And another thing that stands out for me when you came to Philly was people already know this about me, but I work a lot. Like, you know, I don't mind working. I don't mind putting in a lot of hours. And at that time, I think I was like working 3 jobs. And so I was like working the hospital overnight. I had my main job and then I had like a part-time job. And I felt bad because like Spencer essentially was like Spencer just rented an Airbnb, which just happened to be my house because I was never there. But
I mean, I was doing stuff. I was conducting mental health interviews. So it wasn't as if I was sitting at home alone.
No, for sure. But like, you know, I was so excited to have you come in and I wanted to spend like quality time with you. And the one thing that I thought that Spencer did was like so cute that like, you know, towards one of the last nights or two, I don't know. But I was like, Spencer, I got a really busy day next day, so I ain't going to be around. So Spencer was like, yeah, I'll probably be asleep when you get home. But when I got home, Spencer was like up and Spencer was like, you want to hang out? You want to talk? And I was like, yes! Like, I was just so excited. And, you know, we, you know, had a couple of baby boy loves to wet his whistle. So we were wetting our whistle and we just really had such an organic conversation that like, just it's kind of like how this podcast is going. Like, just random shit was coming out. But what I loved about it was that like, one, you felt comfortable with me and I felt comfortable with you, and that it was just like, you don't always meet people, and especially from the Survivor realm, although like we're a big family, we're not really a big family, like, you know, but it's just like, you just oftentimes don't meet people that you just feel so comfortable that like you share things like traumas and things. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like as much as healing as that conversation that we had for you was so much as healing for me. And like, I feel like I will take those like conversations that we've had like to the day that I die. Like I just felt like they were really that powerful and really that meaning, and the things that I was sharing and the things that you were sharing, it just, it really touched me. And that's when I realized that I'm like, Spencer's a real ass bitch. Like I could not have, like, I don't even know. Like, it literally was like the cherry on the top, and just the fact that we were like wetting our whistle and just like, it was,
I think the weed helped more.
Well, I mean, I ain't hear that. I got the connection broke up. But yeah, no, for sure. Definitely. And so that's why I was like so excited when I saw that you were back on social media, because as a fan of Survivor, people love you. As like a friend, I love you. And so like, I just was so happy to see that like you were at a place Yes. All this
and
intimacy.
I love you too, by the way.
Yes. Oh, come on. All this intimacy over here. Come on, Spencer. So I was just happy that you were just back and just like, what a splash that you made, because people were genuinely happy to see you.
Well, that's the new way to do it, I think. I think the new social media strategy is you take a long hiatus and then you come and just blitz them. And then you take another long hiatus.
Everybody ain't motherfucking Spencer Blasto. So everybody can't do that. Bitch, I take a long hiatus, I come back, they would say, who the hell is that? Who is that chunky man?
I probably a lot of buzz, I guess. I don't know.
No, the lies, Spencer. You got cameos out the wazoo to do. Like, your posts are, like, trending everywhere. And which kind of segues me into our next topic is that, like, I follow everything that you do, everything where you at.
You follow everything.
I do, because listen,
just
baby
call
boy.
Call my sister up. You do what you have to do.
Spencer, don't be spilling all the tea, okay? Listen, you don't gotta be spilling all that tea, but yes, and that is very indicative of me, Spencer. Like, if I say that I love you and I care about you, I'm gonna go to all lengths to see where you at and what you doing, and I don't care, like, about what people think or what any of that is. And so, like, and again, not to bring Garrett up, but like, that's where Garrett was at in my life. Like, that's like, so I just want you to understand where I was at and where I'm at with him. Why I feel so, like, in my words, betrayed. But
I mean, to pick up on that, because I was gonna pick up on the same topic just in our lovey-dovey moment, I feel like it meant a lot to me when you could open up to me about that, about the fact that it's harder for you to connect with guys oftentimes, that you feel like you're not sure, you know, if they're gonna be like reliable friends in the way that your women friends are. And like, I'm just happy to be able to, you know, hopefully at least be one positive force in that area, you know, because I hate to see you feel like you can't, like, you don't connect with a certain type of person as well.
And so, but what I think that our friendship does, though, Spencer, is it reinforces that, like, I do. And that I can, maintain friendships like that. And so that's why your friendship to me is like so important. And so, like, absolutely. But what I thought is the most interesting is like when you made your splash back to social media, and obviously you're talking about things that are very important and that most people don't talk about. One of the things that you had touched based on was like when Jeff Probst was like at the last episode of, well, first of all, let me ask you this question. Mind you, I'm all over the place, so you just wanted to go with me. Are you keeping up with Survivor? Have you kept up with Survivor?
Yeah, I watch every episode and then I turn it off when it's over. So I'm a casual fan, I guess you would say.
Oh my God. Yes. Come on, casual. So yes. So what was your thoughts on Winners at War? And if you could sum it up.
Yeah, I thought it was a great season. I like the gameplay was at a really high level. I think that they are definitely still finding their feet with some of these twists and perhaps finding the foot that says get rid of some of the twists.
Okay.
But overall, I thought it was a great show. And I actually, regarding the most contentious twist of all, The Edge of Extinction, which seems to be the bane of the Survivor audience's existence, I actually am a fan of The Edge of Extinction. I think it allows the show to tell stories they would never be able to tell without it.
No, I agree. So this is what I would say. As a casual fan like you are, I never was a fan of Exile Island. Hated it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to go on to say it. So when Edge of Extinction, they did it the first time, wasn't a huge fan. But for me personally, what I liked about that Edge of Extinction was that somebody that got booted out third, and you know, I ain't saying that third boots is like, you know, something special to me, but that a third boot got out and then won the game. So for me, I'm like, oh, now wait a minute. I like this. However, for a season like Edge of Extinction, what I enjoyed about it was that obviously these are all people that have won Survivor. These are all people that have a huge following. These are all people that somebody along the way loves, cares about, like respects. And so what I liked about it was that on a season like this, that if your favorite person got voted out, They weren't gone and forgotten about. You still got to tap into them. You still got to like, and that for me was very, very powerful.
So, I mean, that's what production likes about it too. They want to have their Robin Amber Day filming.
Hello.
They're both voted out.
Again, they want that intimacy, Spencer, okay? They want it.
I feel and a so theme I, building for this podcast.
Okay, listen. I think I just titled it. But I think that where they went wrong was that they should have done Edge of Extinction Winners at War first. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think that if they were to introduce this theme for this season, I don't think fans would have had the hate that they had so much. And though, although people hate or always contest Chris Underwood is one of my good friends and I love me some Underwood. And like, you know, because like he was literally beyond the Zaddy calendar. People think that I love Chris Underwood because like there was like a gif of him, like, you know, at a contest and he was running in his underwear and his legs wasn't the only thing moving. No, that's not why I love Chris Underwood. Like, my real connection to him was that he was voted out third and that like he went to Edge of Extinction and came back and ended up winning.
He lived out your dream.
He like for sure. And to be honest, I don't know if my dream was ever to win Survivor, Spencer. I think that my dream, well, I know what my dream was. My dream was to make the motherfucker merge, Spencer. I wanted that feast. I wanted that champagne. That was like my dream.
wanted to hang out with LJ longer.
Listen, we done already brought up one trauma with Spence with Garrett. We do not need to bring Leon into this. Although Leon, I do talk to LJ regularly, and that LJ has been like, you know, I respect LJ. Although, you know, we don't need to go into this much topic. But I mean, since you know, we just never know.
Yeah.
Although I do not believe, and mind you, so you gonna just think I'm crazy, Spencer. But I have a really good relationship with LJ and Jeremiah. Like we communicate often. I won't say regularly. We communicate often, and I've seen them both, you know, a handful of times. But the issue when I see them, and mind you, LJ is very tuned to this. LJ's like, you love me in the daytime, Bryce, but at night you end up hating me. And that is very much so true. Like during the daytime, I'm good with them. Don't let me have any like type of like alcoholic drink in me, because then it brings out this unsettledness with me because I feel like they voted me out for no reason. And I know what the reason is, and I'm okay with it. But and again, it's a subject that they don't want to touch upon. They don't want to like acknowledge. But like, you know, I know what it is, because like I know what I was like at camp. I know that like when I went out to play Survivor, I was like, I do not want to be the first person out. I do not want to.
No, you worked. I mean, you were definitely were like positive at camp from what everything
I
heard.
And I like, but like, you know, ultimately they saw that as a threat. But why would you see that as a threat? And my thing to LJ is, you had such a cemented relationship with Jeremiah. Why was not that same cemented relationship extended to me? I did everything Jeremiah did, but more.
Right.
But yet they saw me as, oh, we can't trust Bryce. Oh, he's not loyal. Oh, he's not like, and it's just
I think a big part of it was how easy it is for you to relate and thus form alliances with women, you know?
I think that to be true. But going out there, I was so aware of that, Spencer. And I made my first alliance with Spencer and LJ. And they
Jeremiah and LJ?
Oh, I said Spencer. Yes! With Jeremiah and LJ. And I'm like, that's like, you guys were my first alliance.
Yeah.
But
So it wasn't the Morgan that we saw on the show.
No, it wasn't. I've never said this publicly because people love the relationship that I had with Morgan, but Morgan was always my least favorite of our group. Like, I could not get down with Morgan because like Morgan was like kind of lazy. Like she relied on her good looks.
Oh, she was so lazy.
Yes, like she relied on her good looks, and like, you know, for me, that's never been something that I could rely on. I always knew that I had to go above and beyond for a multitude of reasons, and so I just always just felt like, you know, they just never acknowledged, like, we voted you out because all of us had commonality and you were the one thing that stood out, and that was just easy for us to vote out. And they've never said that to me, and I think that that's always like my like contention with them, is that like, Like during the daytime, I love them. At night when I drink, they like, they don't like, I go crazy a little bit because it like, it bothers me. And yeah. I just feel like,
I mean, I can see how it would. Cause I mean, I think they were threatened by you socially, but even at the same time, the fact that that just like low hanging fruit of your, you know, like different from me, or I just don't immediately vibe with you the same way. And, getting you, voting you out as sort of like, something that is easy for them to do.
Right.
It sucks to have to deal with from your point of view.
And I don't think that they really get it. And that's always the thing that makes me mad. And again, I love them dearly. Like they're my brothers, but like, I don't ever really think that they like, you know, get it. And I don't talk about it much, Spencer, because from my point of view as a openly black gay man that's played Survivor, I don't want the like, oh, I'm mad. I don't want that at it. Like I gladly take third boot and I rock out with it. Like, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm a sore loser. I don't want any of that because I'm definitely not, you know, who, but besides you, who the most popular person from Kagayan right now? Okay. Let that sink in. So I'm just saying, like, I know that, like, you know, my hard work, my work ethic, my personality, I know that will always prevail, but it just, sometimes it gets me down when I think about it. And it's like this love hate relationship that I have with Survivor. Mm-hmm. And I think that like, you know, and like it plays on my mental health a lot of the times because like, although I don't talk about it, sometimes it does make me think, am I less worthy? Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, and in this climate that we are in today with like, you know, African-American men getting executed.
Yeah, okay? George Floyd. Right.
Essentially getting lynched and broad. Yeah. Like, it's just like that. That's something that weighs with me and that I have to deal with and that I try to deal with. And I always try to be a beacon of light. I always try to be positive. But like sometimes when I run and I meditate and I self-check in, I'm like, do I always have to be positive? Do I always have to like, you know, like,
because you need an outlet. Cause like if alcohol is bringing things up that are under the surface, you know, then things are there under the surface. Right. So
for sure.
And why wouldn't they be? Cause like what you said makes perfect sense. And obviously what's happening now is tragic on a whole level beyond reality shows, but Survivor is a microcosm of life. And
right.
In terms of how it's easy to create an other out of someone and easier to make certain people and other black people. And, you know, there's a trend in Survivor of black people getting voted out super early. And that's saddening.
Right. Or dig even deeper. Black gay men going out third. Huh.
Oh, nobody well, wants yeah. to. I mean, nobody merely black gay men being on the show is something.
I mean, right. And so it's just like, you know, and I don't rarely talk about it because I don't ever want someone to think a pity me story because there's no pity me story about me. At the end of the day, I was casted for Survivor because I am a true survivor. I've
right.
overcome so many things in life and I will continue to overcome things in life. But what I think that, you know, is not talked about a lot is like the post-traumatic stress that Survivor can weigh on one's life. And so what is such an interesting topic is that when I saw you post your disdain for, you know, Jeff teasing, you know, 16 and 17 year olds to play Survivor, I was just like, wow, that's a really like, and you know, your post really touched me. And I was like, wow, that's a really good point. Because like, you know, at the time that I played Survivor, I was 20 something. And, you know, I thought that I was like, you know, at the peak of my life. And like, little did I know that I was nowhere near it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was, you know, I was in the game 18 days and that still weighs on me. It still weighs on me.
Wait, you know, what are you talking about? You were in the game 18 days.
I mean, listen, we don't got to go into the numbers. I just like to say I was in the game for 18 days. Come on, Spencer. Follow me.
I don't follow, but you can go on.
And to think we was having an intimate moment, Spencer. Okay.
I know. What happened?
You know what? Let me log on to Pornhub because you know what? This is unbelievable, but I was in the game for a very short time.
Never mind. Oh, go ahead.
Spencer want to get technical with the numbers. So, I mean, maybe I was in the game for 11 days, something like that. But the psyche and what it still does to my mental health is crazy. And I can only imagine what it does to someone like you, who every time that you played the game, you've gone deep into the game. And it's not like it's something that you can just bounce back from. It's not like something that like you can just bury deep inside of you. Because like for me, like, you know, and now, you know, I'm not saying like, you know, every time I drink drinker comes out. But when I'm around LJ and like Alexis and Jeremiah, when I drinks, it comes on out. But like you said, that means that, like, you know, I'm not fully dealing with it. So like, what are your thoughts on that? And like, you know, the post game of Survivor and like just all of what I said.
Well, I wouldn't say that it means you're not fully dealing with it. I would just say it means it's not fully dealt with. There is more of it, which, you know, as I said before, is understandable. But yeah, I wouldn't say I had disdain for Jeff, you know, advertising the show to kids. And I don't even know that he intends or the show intends to put 16-year-olds on the show.
Right.
They might just be trying to get him in the system. That's fine. I just felt like putting what I said out there because I figured with the stakes being what they are, which, you know, you and I are familiar with, but these 16-year-old kids aren't. I think it's better to err on the side of caution and say something so that we don't have another Kid Nation, you know?
Right.
It's hard to overstate how much potential Survivor has, or, you know, a spotlight like that in reality TV has at a young age to affect your development. It's a time in life when you're figuring out who you are anyway, right? You don't know who you are. You're growing into yourself. It's an awkward stage, I think, especially for guys. And you're, you know, forming identity. And so for me, at least, and I think for a lot of young people, Survivor inevitably became a big part of identity and became, you know, a lot to work through. A lot that, you know, when I was getting drunk in the past would probably have come up. I don't really drink much, but it did a number on me. I have no regrets about going on the show. And I want to be clear that I'm very happy I did. I don't think I was too young at 21 and 23. I just think for anyone that young, it's going to, you know, if you have an experience like what I had, a lot of people also say, hey, Spencer, you got such a good edit. What are you complaining about? And I'm complaining about the good edit, right? Because a bad edit maybe would have been worse, sure. But what a good edit did at such a young age is inflated my ego tremendously. Even though I was, you know, aware of what was happening, I consider myself a pretty down-to-earth guy. It still did it. And it addicted me to external approval from people. Like those insane dopamine rushes when it's post-show, the show just ended on Wednesday night and I pull up Twitter and I've just got a book's worth of notifications, right? The levels of dopamine and how I was hijacking my dopaminergic reward system, not dissimilar from how porn would do the same, was very unhealthy and addicted me to, you know, it affected my relationship with my phone for sure, which I've just recently started, you know, I would say in the last year, I've had a very healthy relationship with the phone. But in the past, it was extremely dysfunctional and addictive, which I don't think is incredibly uncommon today, unfortunately. With social media and everything, I think addiction to the smartphone and internet is pretty common.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things that I was looking forward to Survivor, was the fact that, like, we would go 39 days without, like, we would, like, touch back into ourselves and, like, you know, to be able to put that aside from us. And so, like, I felt like that was something to get out of it. But then, obviously, like, when the show comes back on, like, we're not prepared for what the edit would be like, what our perception that people would think of us. Like, none of us are prepared for that. And I just, it's so funny because I similarly had a conversation with Wendell about this. And so on this season of Winners at War, he kind of went from
Spencer edit.
Yeah, for sure. And that was something that he was so unprepared for.
Yeah.
And it really, like, bothered me because when he came back from Winners at War, he was so excited. Like, you know, he was like, oh, Bryce, you gonna love this show. I can't wait. Like, you know, and so to see his level of excitement for the show episode, but then, like, you know, but still getting the same amount of comments, but just negatively now. And so like, it was almost like the reverse. And so that did a number on him.
Yeah.
And so, like, ultimately, like, it doing a number on him did a number on me as well, too. And I just feel like Survivor, I feel like, has to do a better job of, you know, preparing new contestants for the show. I feel like they do a good job preparing us for the show.
They do a good job. It's, I think there's some level of this that you can't prepare for. I think it's you really, I mean, I whenever I get a message from a kid who is responding to what I posted and is like, hey, I think I can do it, I just try to emphasize you might be right. And some of them are. I mean, there are 16-year-olds who would be fine, but you don't know what this is like. You can't judge an experience without having had the experience. You know, it's just a mind game if you're judging it that way. That's why when people make quick judgments about psychedelics, I think they have no ground to stand on, essentially. Survivor is like as intense an experience and as potentially hurtful hurtful an experience if you're not ready. So I think you're right. I think that they'll take proactive steps to really ensure everyone who goes on the show is totally psychologically prepared? I mean, they do on paper, but I have to say no.
But I don't know if maybe I feel like my experience was way different than your experience, but I do got this experience that, like, and tell me if I'm wrong, but after the show over, they done with you.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Done. And it's a business. I feel right. And
but
I
they definitely like make you feel like they're your friends right. during the casting process.
Absolutely. But after you come back, and if you ain't made the, especially if you didn't make the jewelry, mm-hmm. they're done with you. Like, there's no contact, there's no nothing. And I feel like that's where they could do a better job of, like, you know, having Dr. Liza or connecting you with, like, a mental health counselor that, like, after and during the show that you, a part of the contract, have to, like, participate in 5 sessions. Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Is that right?
We should get a petition going for that.
I agree with you.
I mean, and, like, I think we could get a lot of survivors to sign that.
Because I just feel like, and whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, I know that, like, I've had personal conversations with Michaela that, like, you know, when Michaela came back, and, you know, Michaela was, like, similar to you, like, you know, she got rose to Survivor stardom, but indifferent, like, she had the Malcolm Friedberg experience. That, like, she came back and went right back.
Yeah.
And right. I know that, like, she had a hard time and, like, you know, was, like, dealing with, like, what post-life was like. And that, like, and she felt like they abandoned her. But, like, you know, Michaela is very true to she. She reached out to people and was like, listen, I need to talk to somebody. I need this. I need that. And so, like, but there are some people that may not do that. And so
most people probably don't do
that. Yeah, for sure.
So many survivors are just petrified of losing their potential invitation back that they are surprisingly very docile with the production.
Listen, and it's not I'm not speaking negatively of them. I'm just, like, giving my thoughts on, like, what I think I could have used. And again, maybe not even so much me, in because I don't think I was affected as much as the game itself, but I was affected by, like, the friendships and the dynamics. But I know people that were, like, affected by the game.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, I know people that come back. I remember I was talking to somebody, I'll just keep them nameless, but somebody that was on Winners at War, not Wendell, that came back and was like, you know, I would be at work and I would hear people talking and I would be like, what y'all talking about? Who said that? What, you know, like, it's so hard to get, and especially when you make it far in the game, and it's just like, it's so hard for you to just turn it off.
Yeah.
And I feel that, like, you know, it's a great game and it's so much fun to play, but I just played in Sequester last week, and that also brought up some things for me that I was like, wow, like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And
people do orgs or, you know, go play many Survivor games and say, wow, that affected me. The show is, you know, obviously the next level.
For sure.
And so what were you saying just a second ago? There's something I was going to follow up on.
I was just saying that, like, I played a game of Sequester, and I was saying, like, that the pregame in it, and just, like, it really kind of brought me back to, like, what the hell is going on? Like, I'm just like,
I remember what it was. I feel like after Survivor, probably something like Sequester would have a whole different effect on you than it would have if you had never done the show, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But what I was going to say is the trust issues, I think, are hard to exaggerate. And the psychological component is much more than the physical component, I would say, which itself is obviously brutal. I mean, you can look at the before and after photo of me in Cambodia, but the trust issues after Cambodia were absurd. Like, I came home and couldn't trust anyone about anything for a while. It took months to recover. And even this past, what is it? It's 5 years later, practically. And this past fall, I was, you know, on a very long meditation retreat. And still some of my neurotic stuff related to that.
It's crazy. And I think that, like, the fact that people don't talk about it, and I feel like the fact that people, like, a survivor, sometimes we, like, live in silence. And so, again, here I am going back to Garrett, because I feel bad that, like, that tweet that he posted, I feel like rang very true to a lot of different things. And I was happy to see him talk about stuff like that. But, you know, given my experience and everything that I've been through with him, it just had me looking at that post like something like, boy, bye. But, like, in this conversation, I feel like, you know what I'm just saying? Like, there's a lot of things that, like, I feel like survivors, like you said, are very very docile about.
Yes.
Because every survivor, and like there might be a handful of survivors that don't ever want to play again, but for the majority, 90% of people, like they put up with this because it's like they want to do it again.
They're waiting for that call.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yep. I've been there, you know, and I've had like for a few years, I really was into the ideas about going back and not waiting by the phone, but like aware of how much hope could rest on something that is so fickle. And as you said, you know, people who it's a business for them, 100%. So, you know, they might have fooled you with being your friend during casting the first time. My casting producer was awesome and didn't fool me. He told me very first thing, look, like we're the worst. We will speak the world of you, be your best friend, and then drop you. You just have to be ready for that. I lost my train of thought.
My casting person was great. I felt like they didn't give me that tea, but I felt like I knew what I was getting into. I just was not, you know, prepared for like, you know, just the afterwards or just like, you know, I just wasn't prepared for a lot of the, like, I wasn't necessarily prepared for like real life things to affect
yeah.
the Survivor game.
And also for the Survivor game to affect real life things. Cause what really gets me is how, you know, people, as I was saying, who have been on the show will really have such hopes to go back on the show and it'll affect their emotional world. And then how it can, you know, I think you speaking of survivors being sort of passive and docile, the way out of that, I would say, is being united around issues like the show providing counseling. But I feel like a big part of what stops us from being united is, you know, not only all the feuds that naturally happen over the course of Survivor and the fact that, you know, we form into cliques and some people don't like some people. I guess mainly that. I guess like the fact that so many fights come out of a season makes contestants, you know, happy so long as they feel secure in their story about, you know, how they got the best of this person or whatever it is, rather than like looking at the bigger picture.
Right. I could not agree anymore.
When I'm at like an event and someone is trying to, you know, form a pregame alliance with me for some hypothetical season that, you know, God knows whether it would happen. Probably not. It's like, what are you doing? We have lives, right? We're not going to just play Survivor in our lives.
Right. But I mean, but that's the thing. Some people do. And like, that's their effect. And that's the effect that it has on them.
Yeah.
And that like, it's just crazy. And I guess my question to you would be like, after all of this, if ring, 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 hello, Survivor, Spencer, would you like to be on the next season? Like, do you think that you would ever play Survivor again?
Yeah, I mean, I take it year by year. I take it, you know, when they call me. So in the past, it was no. Mm-hmm. For 40, it was yes before they turned it into all winners. But, you know, if they called right now, it would be a no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's all about where I am in life and you know, what role the show would play in that. And it's also like, I don't know how it would work going back because, you know, I would have to, you know, play the whole manipulative side of the game and get into it. But I really don't want to. Like, after right. Cambodia,
you
like,
don't
I really
have to.
You don't have to. But I mean, on some level, the game necessitates lying because I've thought about this. I've thought about, you know, could I actually just be honest? And I really don't think it's possible because everyone's checking in with everyone. You would be in a position where someone asks you, you know, who are you voting for? So like there's levels of lying and manipulation that are inherent in the game. And right. It's not a hard decision for now, like for if they called for 41 or 42, because it's just not a good time in my life at all. I got, you right. know, other things I'm more excited to do. But even in the future, I just don't know if I'm up for going back to that because like I feel as if what I've learned from meditation, one thing I've learned from meditation is that the mind proliferates and whatever you feed it, meaning what you're thinking, what you're doing, will carry on a momentum. And living manipulation and lying for as long as I did in Cambodia had such a destructive momentum that I would never invite that back.
That's I don't even have words for that because I can only imagine because I can't say that I've experienced that, but I can only imagine because like, yeah. And it's 24/7. It's
right.
And again, I feel like the fans don't understand. And again, for the, you know, the 27 days that I was out there, it was nonstop. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and just everything that you did, the how you went to sleep, who you slept next to, who went off for a walk, who you got rice for, who went, like, you know, like, it's just little things that, like, you just don't even think about that, like, play such a huge role into perception, into what people think. And then it's just like, now you are defending a perception that's not even true. And it just...
And just having the wherewithal to think about what the perceptions are. And to be thinking about who's going for a walk. I mean, being in that analytical mind and questioning life like that on a nonstop basis is horrible for your nervous system. You know, you need to relax. You need to feel at ease for part of the time to be a healthy human.
I 100% agree. And so I'm just so happy that I was able to have you to like talk about like these. And mind you, we just barely scratched the surface on a lot of these like major topics. But I do slightly want to segue into like, well, what's going on for you? Like what's and although we were in a pandemic, and I don't necessarily think the pandemic is the worst for people. I think it's a lot of time for people to check in and a lot of time for people to have time that they would have never been having because they've been living the real life survival. Which is like, you know, keeping your bills afloat, keeping your kids alive. Yeah. So like they are at ease. So like, what's up with you? Like, what's the next thing going on with you? Like, what's moving and shaking with you, baby boy?
Well, many things. And I agree that you can definitely look for those silver linings in a pandemic. You know, hopefully you're not in financial strain such that you're still in survival mode, but hopefully it can be a time to introspect and, you know, think about what's meaningful in life because it's a tough question and a question whose answer changes a lot. It's changed a lot for me. And I'm guessing, you know, from how many people seem to have midlife crises in their 50s, it happens, right? Mm-hmm. And, so to be asking those questions about what's important in life earlier and having this time is an opportunity. So I wanted to make it an even better opportunity by, you know, offering the meditation, which we talked about. And other than that, I'm still working on mental health work, interviews. I've done, I've got about 20 or so interviews that I did the year, you know, I was at your place and that I have backlogged. So I'm going to start releasing those pretty soon, leading up to the release of a book that I'm working on about mental health, which I'm very excited about.
I'm excited about it because we talked about it and like, you know, I feel like I've been on the journey with you. So I am so excited for that book to come out. So yeah, I'm a bitch excited. Okay.
It'll be a long wait. So it's not even really a plug, but yeah, that's what I'm up to. Trying to just get in good routines for that. Meditating every morning, eating really well, loving my girlfriend, Kaylee, and enjoying life.
Yes. Well, it's always good to check in with you. It's always good. Though we're recording a podcast, I still like have enjoyed this 1,000 times more than I thought I would just because I just feel like we're back in my house. And again, like before we started, I gave you a list of the things that I wanted to talk about. And we talked about two of them because we just went on this natural random path. So like, I felt like we were back in my house talking again. So like, again, I appreciate you so much, Spencer, for one, being a true friend, and being an ally. And that just like, you know, and one to go through experiences and not just, you know, go through experiences, but like you've had the unique experience to go through a lot of things in life. And instead of, you know, keeping it to yourself and just trying to like keep your head afloat, you've been as open as a book. And I think that that is more valuable than you will ever really know, because I think that it speaks to so many people. It speaks to me. It just speaks beyond a lot of different things. And so for you, I thank you for that. And thank you for coming on my podcast. And you know me, I'm very protective of my Spencer. And I always be like, Spencer, you can have other gay friends, okay? But just know, bitch, I'm the number one gay friend in your life, and I'll fight somebody about it because I don't play about my Spencer, okay?
Well, you'll be happy to know you are. And I don't have that was so nice, everything you said. I don't know if I can match it, but I appreciate and love you for the same reasons. And I really value our friendship because I think that we really aren't anyone in a vacuum. You know, I don't really believe in personality in the conventional sense. Right. I don't view myself as the same Spencer with everybody. You know, it's always a different conversation. And I really like what you bring up for me and allow me to talk about. And just to have someone who genuinely cares as much as you do is invaluable. So we can end it on that intimate, loving note.
Yes. Okay. Come on. More intimacy. But thank you so much, Spencer. It's truly been a pleasure to have you on the Purple Pants podcast.
Nice.
Keeping the menu rolling, we've got George Floyd on the podcast, and it is just something that's truly been weighing on my heart since the news broke on May 25th. And, you know, just everything that's been happening in our nation. And if you don't know, George Floyd was a 46-year-old African-American man that on May 25th was killed in Minneapolis by the police. Yes, another name added to this mini list of people that we have that have been killed at the hands of police. Eric Gardner, Michael Brown, Laquan McDonald, Tamir Rice, Philip Wright, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery, and Trayvon Martin, even to that list. Like, you know, and that's just a snippet of the handful of African American and people of color that have been killed by police or have been killed and justice has not truly been served. So George Floyd's story is that on May 25th, he was headed to the Cups food store and was there to buy food for his family. And the clerk at the time called the police for a forgery in progress. Someone was using a counterfeit $20 bill, which I'd like to mention is a nonviolent crime. And we don't even know whether or not if it was George that was using the counterfeit $20 bill, because this police force has not been truthful and forthcoming with a lot of information. So the information that we do know is that police arrived to the scene and George was not even in the store at the time. He was in a minivan outside the store. The police came, approached the minivan. George got out. And from the information that we know now was cooperating with the police, although the police have put out a story that, you know, the reason of his death and how he died was because he was not cooperating with the police. However, all of the information and video camera that we have seen, George was cooperating with the police. The police questioned George, and there's one thing leads to another, and we don't have a lot of the information, again, because this police department has been withholding a lot of the information. Some body cam footage has been released, but it's been heavily redacted, and a lot of the scenes of conversation have been muted. The majority of the information that we as citizens of this nation are receiving is from video camera footage of people that were there at the scenes and other stores in the area that have released footage. We see at one time from the video footage that George is put into the police car and it looks like that he is being assaulted while he's in the police car. Another time, George is on the side of a building, and all of the things that we see, he is cooperating with the police. So this narrative that they are putting out saying that there's other evidence that shows that he wasn't cooperating, where's the evidence? Because the information that we see, it looks like he was cooperating. But the video that went viral and actually the killing of George is when we see George laying on the ground and three officers are putting their weight on his body and another officer kind of managing the small crowd that is there at that time, not doing anything to help George. Now, if any of you have seen the video where George is laying on the ground and Derek Chauvin has his knee on his neck, which is painful to watch, because at this point, if you are saying that George is not cooperating with the police, at what point on this video that we see that is at least 46 seconds long, that he is on the ground and being restrained with three officers on his body. Now, the issue of the video is that you have people that are standing on the side recording the video, and they are actually saying to Derek Chauvin, he cannot breathe. Why are you on his neck? He's not fighting back. And the whole video upsets me, but the part of the video that gets me most upset is that you actually hear George saying to the policeman, don't kill me. And I just got to take a second. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry. I'm back. This topic is just so upsetting. And it's just like when you watch the video and you see the lack of the disregard of his life, it really upsets me, because it's like when I look at somebody like George, I see my brothers, I see my uncles, I see people that look like me, and the disregard for his life, it truly is disheartening and it hurts so much. And it's like if you've seen the video, you see George actually call out for his mother who is deceased. Any of you guys that have children, you know, if your child is hurt, you know that if something is going on with your child, who's the first person they call? Is their mother. And so You just have to think what was going through this man's mind that he is calling out for his mother, and that, you know, for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, this man, this murderer, Derek, had his foot on this man's neck, and he's not fighting back. He can't breathe. And the look on his Derek's face, that he's just casually has his foot on his neck as he essentially is executing this man. And so for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, Derek had his foot on his neck. And even in that 8 minutes, 2 minutes and 53 seconds of that video, George was unresponsive. So you've got your foot on his neck with two other officers on him, and he's unresponsive, and another officer manning the crowd. And that could have easily said, guys, let go, like release. Derek Chauvin did not take his foot off of George's neck until the ambulance arrived. And he was at that point unresponsive, and they put him into an ambulance. And so it appears from all of the evidence that we have seen from this district attorney and this police force that they really tried to cover this up. And it wasn't until the nation that this video went viral that we demanded justice and that we demanded things. The district, and you know, at that point in time, Derek had not been arrested, nor had he been charged. And the district attorney even went to have a press conference to say that, you know, there's other information that shows George being not cooperative with the police and essentially blaming it on him. But nevertheless, there was an arrest with Derek, and he was charged with third degree murder and second degree murder. Now, we've seen this before in a lot of these cases with some of the names that I've listed before. Yeah, you get charged with murder and then they acquit these police officers. And so my question is, what about those other three police officers? Okay, why are they not charged? Why have they not been charged? Because they, one, the officer that wasn't even on his body, he was implicit in that because he stood and watched as they executed this man. The other two police officers that were on his body when he was unresponsive or when he was detained. You guys had him detained on the ground and you still were there and did nothing. And so there is a big outcry from the public that says these people need to be charged. And since all of this information has come out, we, the public, learn of the mistreating of this case, them trying to hide information, them not being forthcoming with information. People are outraged, and rightfully so. So over the weekend, protest for the life of George Floyd took over a lot of the nation, all around the country, even here in Philadelphia. And a lot of the protests were peaceful, and some of the protests turned into rioting and looting. And so here's a conversation that I just want to have, and that, you know, I've seen it a lot on my timeline. I've been getting a lot of heat on Twitter that I'm, you know, I don't condone the rioting and the violence, but this is what I will say to that, is when a person yells for help and no one comes, when they scream for help and no one comes, when they are pleading for help and no one comes, then what? You know, how do you get your voice heard? How do you understand this? So you just have to understand the rage that is in these people that are rioting and that are doing these things and looting stores. Now, I don't condone the looting stores. I don't condone the rioting, but I understand that we are hurt, that people like myself, people that look like my family members, people that look like my loved ones are being executed, and it's okay. It's all right. And, you know, people are saying, well, it doesn't equate to burning down a building. Well, guess what? Does a human person's life equate to a property? No, it doesn't. So if a building burns down, listen, they're insured, they're covered. Okay. But let's not lose sight at what is going on here, that they are executing African-American men at an extremely higher rate, and nobody's talking about it. And so this is where these protests, this is where these riotings are coming from. These people are mad. They are upset. Okay? And I understand. I feel that same rage and that same pain, but I'm blessed enough to have a platform that I can talk about it on, that I could reach people on. These people don't. This is all that they know. So you just have to understand where they are coming from. Do I condone that type of behavior? No, but I understand. Okay? And I'm not going to judge those people for doing that because they are trying to get their voices out. Okay? A lot of those things were protests, okay? A lot of those things were nonviolent, and a handful of these things kind of like turned the tide. And of course, that's what's making the headline. That's what's overshadowing what's going over here. But Bebe, it's not confusing me, okay? I know what the purpose of it was, and it's for George Floyd, okay? And it's important for people to know that Black Lives Matter, okay? And I'm tired of people with the Black Lives Matter that come back, well, all lives matter. Okay, we're not saying that. But right now what we are saying is Black Lives Matter. And Vanessa Bryant, Kobe Bryant's wife, posted a photo of Kobe wearing I Can't Breathe. And, you know, related to another police incident of killing an unarmed African-American man. And somebody came back to her and was like, I appreciate what all that you've been through, but all lives matter. And Vanessa Bryant came back with the perfectest clapback. She said, I understand that you're saying all life matters, but what I'm saying that if we say all houses matter, right? And one house on the block is burning down, does that house not matter? And that's what we are saying when we say Black Lives Matter. We're not saying that we're more important than anyone else, but what we are saying is that we are under attack, okay? We are under attack and that these people are killing us and we need help, okay? We, like, no one is doing anything about it. And so this weekend I had posted something to my Instagram that says, like, we no longer can be silent, okay? To my Purple Pants posse, to my friends that are not people of color, you no longer can just sit in the sideline and not say anything. You gotta be our ally. You've gotta come to our support. We are in this together. We are all human beings, okay? And I don't wanna get too preachy because I know some of you guys don't, you may not agree with what I'm saying, but that's okay because it's important that you just hear me. We don't always have to agree on things, but it's important for us that are on different sides of the table to be able to come together and, you know, talk and to hear each other out, because for so long, me as a Black gay man in this country have not been heard. I'm looked at as less than. And if you guys don't believe it, then you're turning a blind eye. And I think that it's important. It's just important for us to be seen. And it's important to realize that Black lives do matter. And if I'm offending some of you guys, you know, I don't even know if I apologize, because what I'm telling to you is that my life matters. Okay. My Purple Pants posse, y'all love me. And if you love me, then you realize that my life matters, just like all of you guys' life matters. But you guys aren't being killed at an astronomical rate at the hands of people that are supposed to protect and to serve. And if you can't see that, if you are still saying, well, all lives matter, then you really need to take a good look at yourself. And you really need to kind of like understand the biases that you have and that it's not fair. And it's not right. And I cannot stand and not do anything. I cannot stand and not use my platform for what I believe is true to be right. And I understand I may lose listeners. But listen, I have to do what's right in my heart and what I believe that is correct. And this is something that I can't stand for, because when I look at George, he looks like my dad. He looks like my brother. He looks like my uncle. And, you know, that it's just something that I can't explain. And it's so disheartening to me that I have to explain this to my friends that don't get it. But listen, I will use the time and I will use my platform to try to educate and to try to understand and try to use it for people to understand that, listen, we're not saying we better than anybody else. We're not saying our lives are more important, but we are saying that our lives matter and that they are taking us out. And so it was weighing on my heart, Purple Pants Posse. So excuse me for going on, but you just have to understand, it's just so upsetting. It just like, it breaks my heart. And so I just wanted to let you guys know what was going on and my take on it. And I appreciate every one of you guys that like reposted, that are speaking out about injustices, because that's how we move the needle. That's how we can get something done in this country. Okay. All right. I'm going to end this topic because, baby boy, I got to wear my whistle and I just got to take a couple of seconds before I move on to the next topic, because I just have to gather my thoughts, because every time I talk about it, it upsets me. Like, and it's just like, it's just so crazy and it's mind boggling. But at the end of the day, I'm going to use what I feel like my purpose is here for. And my purpose is to deliver my message, just how I feel about the situation. And that's why I appreciate my Purple Pants Posse's, because you guys, we know we get intimate here and I can share with you and we don't have to agree. We don't have to disagree, but don't have to be a yelling match. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening to me. I appreciate it. Whew, chile. Baby boy had to go refill the Tito's up, okay? Because I had to do a woo-sah, okay? Just a woo-sah. All right, let's keep the men you rolling insecure. So on this week's episode, it kind of picks up where it left off last week. We saw Molly and Andrew were coming back from their Mexico trip. They ran into Lawrence, which is Issa's ex of 5 years, but they are no longer together. After Lawrence seen Molly and Andrew, he texts somebody and was like, hey, do you want to get together? You know, I've been thinking about you. I want to meet up with you. And we soon see that it was Issa. Now, yes, I just have to say, I did not condone what Issa did to Lawrence in their relationship. And I don't want to say what she did, because if you haven't seen those old episodes, you can go back and watch. And I don't want to spoil it for you. But what I will say is that in all of the two seasons that they have not been together, baby boy has been rooting for them to get back together. Now, what happened on this episode don't mean that they're getting back together, but it's a step in the right direction. And I don't know about you Purple Pants Posses, but when I watch shows that I can relate to, that I can see myself in, and that I really enjoy, I really be putting myself, I treat these people sometimes like they're my real friends. So if I get a little emotional or start talking crazy, that's just because I feel like, you know, Issa is my friend. Okay, I know I'm crazy. So where was I at? So Issa and Lawrence meet up for some cocktails and really just start talking about what's going on, what's up with them. But the place that they at kind of turns into a nightclub, so they can't really talk. And another thing that I like about this episode was last episode was really all about Molly and Andrew, and we haven't really seen episodes like that in Insecure, but I enjoyed it. And this episode was truly all about Issa and Lawrence. So they met up at this one bar. It kind of sort of turned into a nightclub. So they was like, hey, do you want to maybe go somewhere else? And Lawrence is like, I remember when we were together, you used to want to go to this Italian place. Like, let's check it out. And Issa's like, okay. So, and again, back in Issa's relationship with Lawrence, Issa was the breadwinner. Lawrence didn't have a job and he was unemployed. So it's so interesting to see the role reversal, in the sense of Lawrence really has his ish together. So they are like, well, let's get grab a lift. Okay. And Lawrence, he don't just get the regular lift. He get like the Uber black lift. Like, okay, spend them coins, baby boy. So they're on their way. They get to the restaurant and Lawrence gets there. He's like, oh, I don't know what to get. And Issa's like, I know what I want. And he's like, have you been here before, bitch? And she like, sorry. But what's really good about this episode was that they were able to like connect. And I don't know, Purple Pants Posse, if you ever can relate, if you've ever had like an ex that you guys broke up and you never really got the answers that you wanted to know why, to like the random questions of the relationship. And so this, what this episode was all about, Lawrence really got to ask Issa some questions, and you know, Issa got to reveal to Lawrence a lot of the things that she felt in the relationship that, you know, during that time she was not able to convey to him. And even if she conveyed it to him, he probably would have not have heard it because of where they were at in that relationship. And it was a bit awkward because some of the things that Issa was saying, it looked like Lawrence was taking it to heart, but they were all in all receiving things well. At one point in time, baby, here come the shade. Now Issa's like, let me run to the bathroom. So when Issa runs to the bathroom, Lawrence checks his phone. Now when he checked his phone, it's Condola. Now I don't, y'all remember who Condola is? Condola was helping Issa with the block party. She met Condola through her friend Tiffany at her baby shower, which is coincidentally when Lawrence met her as well too. And then, you know, Condola started dating Lawrence, and it was awkward because Issa was working with Condola for the block party. But since then, at the block party, Condola told Issa that her and Lawrence are no longer together. Now while Issa at the bathroom, Lawrence pull up his phone, and it's Condola saying like, hey, I know we said we were going to meet up tomorrow, but do you want to meet up tonight? Now hold up a minute, Lawrence, what you doing? Because if you try to play Issa, I'm gonna come for you, Lawrence. I'm gonna come for you. So Issa comes back from the bathroom, and but we see Lawrence text Condola like, hey, I'm out, we might need to just, you know, continue to do tomorrow. So they go out, they meet up, they incoincidentally meet up with like one of Issa's guys that she was just hooking up with, who was just an absolute mess, but super hilarious. And Lawrence kind of sort of picked up on it and was making fun of Issa and kind of like egging him on. So after that, you know, they don't want the night to end, okay? So they go to this art gallery that's in LA, like the walking art gallery that you can go and buy art. And so they continue having a really good time and really hanging out with each other. After the art gallery, Issa's like, hey, I'll get a Uber you home, and then, you know, I'll go home as well too. Then Issa finds out that Lawrence lives in the same neighborhood as her. They get to Lawrence's house, and Issa's like, all right, I'll see you later. And Lawrence is like, you should come in and see my house, like how grown up it is. Because all throughout the night, they were making jokes that Issa was like, you probably just have an air mattress and all of this stuff. So Lawrence tells the Lyft driver she'll be out in 5 minutes. They go in the house. Issa sees the house. Issa's like, can I run to the bathroom real quick? Issa goes to the bathroom. Now, when Issa goes to the bathroom, Lawrence takes his phone and goes outside and calls Condola. Now, mind you, up until this point, I ain't really have an issue with Condola because I'm like, okay, she dating Lawrence. Issa's cool with it. But at this point, Condola needs to back off, okay? For she get popped too, okay? Her and Lawrence about to get popped. pop, 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 pop. Anyway, sorry. So Lawrence calls Condola. He's like, hey, Condola's like, hey, I was thinking maybe you could come over. And Lawrence is like, I was in the middle of something, but maybe, yeah, I'll see if I can make it over tonight. Lawrence goes back inside and whoo, guess who at the door? Issa. She heard everything. Now, Issa can't be too mad because Lawrence is not her boyfriend. She did break his heart, but still, like, come on, you gonna do me like that, Lawrence? Come on, Lawrence, you about to get pop, 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 popped. So Issa's like, it's fine. And Issa walks out the door. But before she walks out the door, she turns around and she's like, what if I wanted to stay? Okay, and I would do the same thing. Because listen, Condola, you ain't going to get my Lawrence. Listen, I throw the wop, pop, pop, top right back on Lawrence before Condola would get it. All right, sorry. See, I told y'all, in my mind, I'd be thinking Issa me and Lawrence is about to be my man. But you know, I'm crazy like that. So Lawrence is like, are you sure you want to do that? I don't really want to kind of convolute things with us. And Issa's like, well, you know, you make me feel good. And Lawrence is like, you make me feel good. And who? Chile, one thing next to another, baby. Okay, because that's about the sounds that was making up in that apartment. Lawrence put his thing down, and I may and may not have pretended I was Issa in that moment. Okay, I ain't gonna confirm that or deny it. Next morning, they wake up. All seems to be good. Issa gets dressed and kind of, you know, takes her walk of shame. Now, let me just ask you a question, Purple Pants Posse. How many times in your life have you had to make that walk of shame? Okay. Now, baby boy might have had to do it a couple of times, a G with 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. Back to Issa and not me. So Issa takes her walk home, but as she's walking home, she really appears to be in a euphoric moment. Cause big bang, after Lawrence did his thing to that kitty who hot the cup but the heat. Listen, I'd be strolling home too. Skip to my loo, boot, 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 skip to my Bryce. Get it together. Go back to Issa. Alright, back to Issa. But listen, bitch, I was ready to skip to my loo. Ooh, 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 skip to my loo. Ooh, 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 ooh. Come on, Lawrence. Ooh, come on. Ooh, 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 ooh. Alright, back to Issa.
Hey Bryce, it's Angela. That's how I feel about Tony too.
Angela, if you don't get off my podcast, girl, this ain't Love After Lockup, girl. We gotta wait for y'all. This is Issa Rae Insecure. Bye, Angela.
I'm sorry, Bryce, but yeah, I like to skip to my loo with Tony too. Wait, but I gotta go smoke this cigarette.
See, Purple Pants Posse, you start talking about a show, okay, then the other show wanna come and girl, if Angela don't get miss me with that anyway, back to Issa. He seemed really excited walking home, and that's how the episode ends. And so I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't know whether or not, I don't feel like they would have Issa and Lawrence get back together because I feel like that's too predictable, but I don't know. I really, 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 really want it. So again, Sunday nights at 10 p.m. on HBO, get into Insecure. It's on demand. If you have not got into the season and you're like, what the hell is Bryce talking about? You can go back and watch all 4 seasons. Is they available? Okay, and they only 30 minutes, so it won't take that long.
Puh, I said it's a puh. I said it's a puh. I said it's a purple pants premonition.
Hey boo, it's Gangsta Gurry here with this week's Purple Pants Premonitions. It's so good to be back and I'm so grateful to be here. I hope that you and each of your loved ones are taking some time to be safe and also taking the time to take a stand in whatever way that seems important for you. As we know, this is a very tumultuous time and it is important that each of us be able to respect one another, respect the situations we're finding ourselves in the midst of, and really start to rise up and take a chance on the things that are out there in front of us in this time. So I want to go ahead and give you guys the forecast that is going to be coming up for the first half of June. So I'm using 2 specific decks. These are advice decks, the Shamanic Medicine deck as well as the Sacred Symbols Oracle deck. And the first card that comes out is in the representation of Vision Quest. So what are you seeking right now? I know that there have been a huge amount of change. We are looking at global change. We are looking at something that has been unprecedented. Of course, we have the history books to look at things and how they have really just like transpired, how the history of Black people and how people of color in general have been marginalized for years to come, and how we've also seen in our own lives, what are some of the things that we are looking to create? What are some of the things that we are wanting to make space for as far as our joy? What are some of the things that come up in our meditations when we're waking up in the morning and we have like those deep thoughts, those things that keep us up late at night? What are some of those ideas? What are some of those beliefs? What are some of those visions that you are having right now as far as the changes that you need to make, which comes up in the Seek card? So this is representative of someone who is looking out on the horizon, looking out into the sunset and seeing whatever the end of the day has brought to them. Of course, as we take time to sit and reflect, we have space to think about where we should be moving forward. And a lot of times people take these opportunities to think about, okay, Like, I have a vision. I have desires to make this happen. And sometimes we jump. We take a leap a little bit faster than what we anticipate before really thinking about all of the different components and thinking about the effect that everything has. So how are you taking this ownership and taking this time right now to sit and seek out what it is that you need to help you feel growth? Additional advice comes in the form of nature spirit, safe travel, and healer. So we know that this is a time globally where the world is purging, right? We've seen people physically, people spiritually, like there's a lot of things that are being cleaned up as far as the universe is concerned. And this is a time right now where you are having to remind yourself you are part of the universe. You are not separate from any other person or any other situation. How are you taking a moment to connect with everybody and everything around you? Reminding yourself that, you know, if you're littering, making sure that you're not littering, making sure you're helping other people to feel safe if they are, you know, out and in dangerous areas. Like, this is all about reminding yourself how you are connected to the universe and you are one. And knowing that this is a time to really step into your healer position, really being able to take an eye and look at things with a fine tooth comb for whatever that means for you. All of us have different lived experiences. All of us have these different components to our lifestyles and the ways that we live that make us behave, that make us perceive things a certain kind of way. So the universe is calling to you right now to figure out, how do you take your space in nature? How do you take up space in your truth? What are some of the lies that you feel like you've been living for quite some time that you have to answer right now? What are some of the things that you could allow yourself to, you know, travel actually or maybe physically to make a change or have inspiration? How are you being an inspiration for yourself? And how are you being an inspiration for people around you? This is a time where you're having to ask yourself, what is your purpose? What is your place? You've had the last couple of months to really ask yourself those questions and look at the people, look at the things that are in your life and take ownership of what fits and what does not anymore. With nature spirits, going outside, of course, is suggested. You know, we got to get our vitamin D out here. But at the same time, making sure that you are not just thinking about how you are putting into the universe, how you're putting into the earth, thinking about what you're receiving from it, the wisdom that can come from you taking your walks. Like when you have your morning, you know, stroll, I know I like to get up with my little coffee, you know, maybe pop around the neighborhood real cute for a couple hours, listen to my music. What are some of the things that come up in these moments of peace? And how are you feeling motivated when you are having these moments to take a step back and reflect? We forget a lot of the times that, you know, when we give ourselves opportunities to breathe, give ourselves opportunities to process instead of feeling like we have to do things all the time. And we feel super action oriented, like we don't always think about the best action that could be taken. And allowing yourself to have time to slow down. This is a huge message that has been coming up for a lot of like people that follow astrology. A lot of healers I've heard have said that this has been a really huge time ever since about March for us to slow down with the things that we're doing and be very intentional. So how are you being supported in that with the universe? What are some of those coincidences that you've had recently that have let you see, wait, I'm actually being looked out for? Maybe it was something that happened with your unemployment child. Maybe it was something that happened with your little stimulus check. You didn't think you was going to get one. Then boom, here it is. Maybe it's something like somebody was able to bless you with something that helps you to further some of your vision, some of your desires. And it was something that you were expecting from, you were not expecting. It came out of left field and it came to really just drop that blessing off in your life. How can you look at some of the things that have blessed you over the last couple of months? Some of the things that you've also been able to release, some of those questions that you may have had in your spirit, some of those questions you may have had on your mind that you know that you're in the space of letting go of, and knowing that this is helping you to come to another space of healing, another space of understanding who you are on a larger scale. What is your purpose? We all have a purpose. We all have a desire. We all have a space that we are supposed to be inhibiting. And a lot of us have forgotten that because we get so caught up in the day-to-day life and the issues of other people and the issues of things that are actually just so minuscule. How are you really focusing on what is going to be for your highest good and for the highest good of everybody else around you? And knowing that that is what facilitates change. Knowing that allowing yourself to commune with other people that have some of the same mentality, some of the things that you see in yourself that you would like to manifest a little bit more of. How can you find people that are doing some of the things that you already want to do? And how can you allow yourself to learn from them or figure out what more can you bring your little special, like, fling? I wish I had like a little wand or something like that to go right there. but allowing your little, there we go, your little special sauce to be on it, you know, and allowing that energy to kind of come through. So with the Vision Quest card, because you know it comes with a little rat, Vision Quest card says, become the quester of your vision. Where and how is your decision. Meet your guide with their protection. Heal your wounds and change direction. There are some conversations that have to be had. There are some things that have to be fixed. Still, we all have things that we're working on. We all have a variety of different things. This is something I've been thinking a lot about recently, and I don't know if any of you guys out there have been as well, but the idea of how we all have shit going on. Everybody got something going on. Everybody got a strife. Everybody got a struggle, whether they choose to acknowledge it or not. But the more that we are allowing ourselves to assist and guide each other on this journey and be present for each other's healing instead of trying to ignore certain things that we know, you know, maybe those uncomfortable things that you got to bring up in your own life or in the lives of people around you, so that way we can heal as a collective. Being focused on where are you directing your energy, where you have your focus at, and how can you allow some of your visions to manifest even more. So the divinatory meaning, become your authentic self. Get to know the truth of who you really are and what you are capable of. Don't measure yourself by the deeds and words of others. Your voice must be heard. Do not follow the crowd. You are entitled to your own preferences and opinions. Speak up. Listen, this is not a more perfect card to pull on today in light of everything that is happening. This is a time for you to speak up, but be thoughtful in the way that you bring information to others and be thoughtful of, you know, other people's experiences. Everybody's lived experience is really important, but do you want to err? How do you want to err? On the side of justice, or do you want to err more on the side of fear for what change could actually bring? Change is something that is going to be inevitable. So go ahead and lean into it for the way that feels best for you. Your voice must be heard, and you get to decide in what way you allow that voice to be heard. This is not saying, you know, you have to scream it from the mountaintops. You got to send it in a text message. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever it is that means for you to facilitate change, whether on a small scale, whether it's, you know, with you in a relationship or you in a person that may think that they know you on a deep level, but they need to get to know you a little bit more. Or maybe it's something on a larger scale, you know, maybe it's protesting, if that's something that you feel comfortable doing and want to put yourself in a position to do that. Whatever you feel like you need to do to accomplish your greatest good and your highest good is being suggested right now. It also says you are entitled to your own preferences and opinions. And I also want to say here that speaking up and making your voice heard is always going to be very important, but also giving yourself time and space to study and really dive deep into those questions of the soul. It says the time of abandoning, ignoring, diminishing, and misunderstanding the power of the old ways and wisdoms is coming to an end for you. On the physical plane, you feel a need to carry on in your set ways as a matter of survival. But this will soon create an emptiness, a state of emptiness, weakness, and fear. A rite of passage, like a vision quest, allows the body to respond to challenge and gives you the strength and vitality to deal with the changes. On a transpersonal level, you are seeking soul knowledge. You want to know who, what, and why you are, as well as the possibilities that lie before you. This knowledge, enriched by your wisdom of the collective unconscious, is the basis of your recognition of your physical or spiritual place on Grandmother Earth. So this is a time for us to really be thinking about, you know, this is a rite of passage. Allow your body to respond. So it's all about like listening to what your physical body needs. Like your soul needs answers and your soul needs some sort of clarity and whatever it is that's going on in your life right now. And this is a time for you to get that knowledge. You know what I'm saying? You want to know all the possibilities that are lying before you. So really sit, process, give yourself the opportunity and space to do that. It says a vision quest is taking the first steps towards knowing your true place in nature. Quest what you seek, and you will return with healing and direction for yourself, your loved ones, and for all of us. So this is a time for you to revitalize your spirit. It says the participant normally, usually alone in nature, engages in fasting and prayer to enter a trance state. They may encounter spirit guides, ancestors, or healing visions. Being alone in nature for days at a time is a powerful rite, but it is important to understand the process and know your responsibilities. So this is a time where, you know, I feel like this is also a really big time of the year normally. where there's like a lot of retreats and stuff like that happening. A lot of people will be traveling in order to like find things deeper within themselves. How are you allowing yourself to go deeper with whatever situation may be arising for you, and knowing that, you know, nature does have the answers. It's just about you sitting and waiting for them to come instead of trying to rush. And we feel sometimes so programmed to like having to do things or having to just like pop off before we actually allow ourselves to really think about where we are and how we feel. And just knowing that, you know, really allowing that process to happen and really allowing yourself to gain whatever information that is, give yourself that space. Nature Spirits comes up to let you know it's time to get outside, get into nature, recharge your battery with the trees, the grass, the mountains, the desert, and the sea. There's a magic that awaits for you. So this is a time for you to just know that getting connected to your physical body, being connected to you and whatever it is that's coming up, and like having those conversations with yourself and the people around you, whatever it means, is going to be a major key. Meditation is very much important for you this week. If you have not given yourself time to meditate, or have been feeling a little overwhelmed by that meditative state, or just like really taking a time to take a step back, this is the time where it's being called. I don't know what that means. It's just like maybe cutting off, you know, the things that trigger you. What are some of the things that have been kind of like riling up your spirit that you need to excavate from your space? And how do you give yourself time to know that you do deserve an opportunity to process? You don't have to overwhelm yourself all the time or feel like you have to do too much. Like, explain these feelings, explain what's coming up. That's one of the most important things that we can do in this moment, is just be transparent. And what does transparency look like for you in any of your situations that are coming up? And last but not least, as far as like you being a healer is just allowing yourself to be a home to someone else. How can you be a home to yourself, and how can you be home to someone else that may need a home? How are you allowing yourself to see change being facilitated, you know, internally, externally, maybe in your environment? Maybe that's something that you need to stop taking in. I don't know why, but the idea of just like eating healthier comes up. Or just making sure that you are getting outside. And, you know, since it is getting a little bit warmer, I know here in New York City, it's been a little ugly as far as the weather back and forth. But this is a time for you to just like know that the universe has things to give to you in the physical space and in the spiritual space, whether that is through sleep, whether that is through meditation, whether that is through Reiki, whatever it feels like for you. This is a time for you to just like go within and really figure out the answers that make you you. This is a time of accessibility. So we all have accessibility to things that, you know, help us to create realities for ourselves. Be very thoughtful of the things that you are putting into your space right now, and knowing that there's a certain level of wisdom and a certain level of understanding that you have to create for you in order to move forward. So what do you want that to be, and how do you want to live life out right now? With the Dreamweaver card, this talks about you going to bed with a clear conscience. So what are some of the things that you need to make sure that you're releasing before bed? Trusting the visions that you receive in dreams, keeping a dream journal is something that is suggested for you. It says a dream may hold an important message from a deceased loved one. So explore lucid dreaming. I know that there are things on YouTube, like some of you guys may have been really feeling the dream state, especially ever since that Gemini new moon that we had this past week. This is a time for you to really start getting into some of the themes. Where are you being directed? And those are where the answers are coming from. If you've been, you know, having some question about what it is you should be doing, where it is that you should be kind of like taking your focus right now, a dream state always has answers if you allow yourself to call that energy in, saying like, before you go to bed, I want to remember my dreams, and keep doing it until you remember, setting intentions and knowing that you also have dreams that you still want to manifest. You still want to create in your life. You still want to be something, someone. If you want to be somebody, you want to go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention, child. Okay? And the universe honking outside. This is time for you to know that, you know, your dreaming mind is allowing you to create an expansive, creative canvas for the consciousness of the universe. In dreams, the past, present, and future are one, and time is limitless. So this is all about you accessing the wisdom of those who have gone before you, including your own soul's previous experiences. This is a time where you are being asked to pay attention to everything, be conscious of what you are doing, be conscious of what you are creating, and also knowing that you can create a space for safety within yourself and around you and for the communities that you know that are going to be really important for this. But you have to have that desire first and foremost. It's time to be brave, do what you got to do, and show up for people the way that you want to be shown up for. That is the first half of June, because child, let's be real about it. Like, there's so much stuff going on. We just need to be aware, be prepared, And also make sure that you are reaching out to the people around you in your communities and like your loved ones, your friends, your people and stuff like that, to make sure that you guys are staying in contact and staying safe. And knowing that you guys, it can start with one. It can really begin with one. So if there's anything that comes up in your spirit that needs to be talked about, don't be scared this week. Make a move. All right? That's your boy Gangsta Gurry signing off with your Purple Prints Premonitions. I want to thank all you guys for listening today. If you want to find me, you can find me on Instagram. It's Gangsta Gurry, Gurry, G-U-R-R-Y, and Gangsta with an A because we don't do that E-R busta shit over here. And you can find me on Twitter sometimes, tweeting my life away, or my Patreon, patreon.com/GangstaGurry. Thank you so much to the Purple Pants Master himself, Mr. Bryce. Going back to you.
And thank you so much, Gangsta Gurry, for this week's Purple Pants Premonitions. Let me know what you thought about this week's Purple Pants Premonitions. Tweet me, DM me, let me know what you think. All right, now let's keep it rolling.
It's a Purple Pants pick, it's a Purple Pants pick. If you hurry up quick, it's a Purple Pants pick, yeah.
And we are on to one of my favorite segments of the podcast, Purple Pants Picks. You pick, I say. Every Saturday, I will post to my Instagram, Bryce Isaiah, and I will say, drop some topics for your Purple Pants Picks, and you guys can just write whatever you want to hear your baby boy say. Doesn't matter what it is, you know we get intimate on the podcast, so pop culture, music, personal relationships, anything. You write a topic, TV shows, news, and your baby boy gotcha. So let's get into the first Purple Pants picks.
All right, the first Purple Pants pick comes from at StuartDiane22. What is the origin between you and Jack? How did you meet? Love your Purple Pants podcast.
Yes, great Purple Pants pick. So my baby boy, Jack Atkins, I met when I went to South Africa to support the Nailady Christian Academy last October, and Jack participated in it, and we hit it off. That's my baby boy. We worked together in the game, and you know, ever since then, we've always kept in contact. And I know that Jack has a love for Survivor, and Jack is probably one of the smartest people that I know, period. So we started doing Survivor news, and then more and more, he started helping out with the podcast, and we just became friends. So Jack is like my little brother. He's Timmy's best friend, and that's my baby boy.
All right, the next question is from Marlene_. She wants to know, how are you taking care of your mental health during this crisis of police brutality and racism?
Another great Purple Pants picks, and earlier in the podcast, I said that on Sunday I had took time to just hang out with my friends and decompress. We did like a little picnic on Kelly Drive. And so just being able to have a group of friends and people that you can talk to openly and candidly, where you don't feel like you're being judged and you feel like you are being heard, is really something that is major for me. So that's kind of sort of how I've been dealing with my mental health during this time, and speaking out about injustices and really kind of like using my platform. And you recording the Purple Pants podcast has really been a release for me as well too, because it's a way that I can tell how I feel, and I know that people can hear it. So that's really how I've been coping with it. I also kind of sort of took a break from running a little bit. I don't know why, but I really am trying to get back to running. So even after I record this podcast, I just want to go for a run to help clear my mind. And that's really how I've been dealing with it, Marlene.
The next question is from at JonathanRose10. He wants to know if you have any Pride Month plans.
Hey, baby boy, Jonathan. I don't really have any Pride Month plans. And I had actually talked about this on other podcasts, but I generally don't do anything major for Pride Month, especially in my city, because a lot of the times, even in the gay community, it's like somewhat segregated, where there is like the common gays, which is mostly like for like the white gay men. And they kind of generally leave us out a lot of the time, like us gay men of color. Here in Philly, a couple of years ago, there aren't a lot of gay scenes in Philly. We have like a main strip, and there are maybe like four or five clubs. And one of those major clubs, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, it was like uncovered about their like, you know, racial preference and bias to like their patrons in the club. And it had came out on video that one of the club owners said flat out that he did not like African-American gay men in his club, and that just like, and he was using racial slurs. And so it really kind of put a bad taste in my mouth, especially in the Philly gay scene. So since then, I have not really gone to any of those establishments. And I was explaining to you earlier that in the beginning of the month, or not this month, but in May, around the middle of that month, we have a Black Gay Pride, and a lot of major cities in the United States have Black Gay Pride. And those are generally the prides that I participate in, because it speaks directly to my community and like the subculture of the gay community. So that's something that really kind of speaks to me. We do a lot of activism, and there's parties as well too. But that's not to say that I'm not here for Pride Month, because I think it is very important, because, you know, there's a lot of things to celebrate as me as an openly Black gay man. So I don't really have any plans for Pride Month this month, baby boy, just with everything going on with the pandemic. I ain't trying to go to no clubs or no large gatherings because I'm trying to stay corona free. I want my family to stay corona free. But, you know, I am trying to plan some fun things to do for the podcast so that we can talk about the LGBTQ community and like our role and where we fit in. But that's a great question.
The next Purple Pants pick is from Paulo's Travels. Do you watch Drag Race? If so, what are your thoughts?
So I haven't been up on Drag Race in a while. I think the last one that I saw was like the All-Star one when they brought Jasmine Matters back. So I am a little late on the Drag Race, but I do occasionally watch it. But it's a new show out called Legendary on HBO Max. Now, I didn't know what the hell HBO Max was. I thought I had HBO, so I thought I had it, but I realized it's one of their hybrid things that they have. And so, baby, more money, more time that baby boy does not have. But I saw the show, and it was basically about the ballroom scene, and they have balls, and they're essentially competition. So if any of you guys have watched Pose, it's that, but the modern day, and they've made it into a reality show, just like Top Model, which it looks so good, and I'm mad I wanted to watch it. So I had took to the Twitters the other day, and I said, did anybody seen Legendary? If so, how and where are you watching? And I just want to give a huge shout out to Nicole Lynn, aka Deep Tiger Girl on the Twitter, a member of the Purple Pants Posse. Yes, she slid in my DMs and was like, baby boy, I got HBO Max, and here's my login and information and password. Enjoy. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So yes, shout out to you, Nicole. That really touched my heart. I so appreciate you, because that's not what I was tweeting about. I was just trying to figure out where it was at and if I needed to pay for it. But look at God sending Nicole my way in them DMs and giving me access to be able to watch it. And it's so good. And I'm thinking about talking about it on the Purple Pants podcast. So Posse, let me know if y'all are watching Legendary on HBO Max.
All right. The next one is from @BreezyGirl. She wants to know, are you Team Molly or Team Issa?
Yes, Breezy Girl for the Insecure Purple Pants pick. So I would have to say, normally in the grand scheme of the show, I am always like Team Molly, just because I feel like I relate to Molly a lot and the things that she goes through, especially like with her relationships. But given the climate of this season, and it seems to be Issa against Molly, baby boy is going to have to go Team Issa all the way.
The last Purple Pants pick is from John Rules. A peaceful protest turns into riots and vandalism. How does this happen, and how do you stop it?
Whew, John, that is a loaded question. I think that it happens by people not hearing what is going on, and that, you know, the things that continue to happen in this country with people of color getting killed by police and they not getting convicted, with us speaking out about it and nothing seems to happen, when people say Black Lives Matter and people say All Lives Matter, like it's just a combination, and you've got 45 in office fanning the flame. I think that people get so frustrated with not being heard that, you know, they act out and they do things that are out of characteristics for them. And I think that, you know, when you have so much rage and so much tension in our country right now, this is kind of what happens. Again, not condoning what's happening as far as like the looting and the rioting, but understanding where it's coming from and understanding what's happening, I think that how we stop it is, one, being allies to each other, seeing us as individuals, as human beings, as, you know, one, as being the same. And I think that really kind of like crossing the table and having these hard conversations and having to look at, you know, yourself in the mirror and really addressing your biases and really standing up and saying it's not okay. I thought I saw in Flint Township in Michigan where there are protests going on, one of the police officers, I think it might have been the sheriff, that was out there with the protesters, and he told the protesters, listen, I'm not against you guys being out here. I'm actually for you. I don't condemn what those officers did over there in Minneapolis, and I am here for you, and I want to march with you. And he had his police officers put their batons down, and they marched with the protesters. I think that that's how we stop something like that. I think that is the right way, and we're on to something there. And that's going to conclude this week's Purple Pants Picks. Thanks so much, guys. And again, each Saturday I post to my Instagram, drop your topics for Purple Pants Picks, and that's how you can get your topic in.
It is time for advice given to you by Bryce. It's time for advice with Bryce.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Advice with Bryce. We once again have another great submission, so let's get right into it. Dear Bryce, first, I just wanted to write and say that I am so thankful for the Purple Pants podcast. I have listened to every episode, and your words of encouragement to your listeners each week are so positive and uplifting. It is especially credible coming from you because you are honest and forthcoming with your struggles, so when you cheer us on, I can tell it is from a real and sincere place. So here's the Advice with Bryce question. About a month and a half ago, before all the stay-at-home orders, I was called in for jury duty. I ended up getting put on a jury for a murder trial. The murder took place in 2018, where one woman ended up stabbing another woman in a parking lot bank in the middle of the day. Since there was fighting prior to the stabbing, someone in the bank filmed the entire incident. As a result, there was a video in the trial that was shown over and over. There was also body cam footage from the police officer's uniform that showed the victim's death occur. The victim had a large group of family and friends at the trial to support her every day. She was a mother of four young children. My question is, how do I go on with regular life after a traumatic experience like this? Staying at home has been difficult since the images and thoughts from the trial just keep playing over and over in my mind. I feel horrible for the victim's family and all the people involved in what occurred that day at the bank. I am also a mom of two kids, and I will find myself thinking about the children of the woman many times throughout the day. I feel guilty for wanting to get the whole thing out of my mind and move on when those people must be having a much harder time with it all than me. What should I do? Thank you so much, Shelly from Illinois. And to the listeners out there, if you feel like you need advice with Bryce, please reach out and send an email to purplepantspodcast@gmail.com.
You guys are really bringing it with the Purple Pants picks and Advice with Bryce this week. So first, thanks, Shelly, for listening. And wow, that's a lot to kind of get through. I think that it is important, Shelly, that you acknowledge that you had to almost be traumatized by watching that traumatic video over and over and over again. So I think that that's like the first step, is you giving yourself permission to not be okay, to be affected by it. I think a lot of the times when traumatic things happen to us, that one, we don't realize that something traumatic has happened, and two, we oftentimes feel guilty about having feelings about it. So I say it's okay to feel indifferent, to have some feelings about it. And I think that you should sit in those feelings. I think in those times when we feel most uncomfortable and we feel at ease, if we sit in our own feelings, good or bad, we get something out of it. So I think that that is important for you. Also, I think it's important for you to have an outlet, you know, to talk to someone, you know, and I'm grateful. And one of your outlets could be reaching out to me or your partner or a friend or somebody that like you feel safe with telling your side of the story. And you need somebody that's going to listen and not judge you. You just, sometimes we got to get it out. We have to literally release it from us, because when we hold on to these thoughts and these feelings, they run rampant in us, and sometimes it's not for the good, and so it'll eat you alive, and like you'll start dreaming about it and thinking about it and just be like, oh my god. I also think it's important for you, after experiencing something like this, is come up with a plan of action. And what I mean by a plan of action is, since this has affected you, how can you then affect something else in your life? And so it doesn't even have to be related to like what the video or the trial was, but how can you now affect something different in your world? Something that you have control over, whether it's you reaching out to a neighbor, whether it's instilling in your children, do you more loving morals, not to saying that you're not, but you know, having conversations with your children, reaching out to a friend, random acts of kindness, a plan of action for you. Because oftentimes I find that if I'm affected by something and like I have no control over it, and I am in my mind and in my feelings, I want to like, you know, and it's something that I can't change, I then want to change something. I want that chain effect to have something positive on me, whether it's volunteering at the homeless shelter, whether it's going through my closet, getting rid of clothes that I don't need and donating them to a shelter, just something that can put positivity back into the universe. And I feel like with us doing that, we're changing that negativity and we're using it to push forward positivity and affecting someone else in a positive way. And I feel like when you can do that, that is when you get a sense of relief that you did not let something negative that happened to you or that you witnessed or had to be a part of continue being negative. In your own way, you are changing it to something positive. Because I believe in energy, and I believe that, like, you know, sometimes negative energy is always wet with other negative energy, and then it can continues on. However, I try to be the chain breaker, something like that, and I try to meet negative with positive. Now, although I don't always, because listen, I'm on a road to a better Bryce Shelley, so it's hard for me sometimes, but I actively try to take steps. And so I think that if you, Shelley, can do any of these things that I have recommended for you, or even seek counseling and talk to a professional about it and really break it down, I really feel like you can have a better sense of what has happened to you, what you're going through, and how to come up out of it. Because I can already tell that you're an amazing person, because you in the Purple Pants posse. But it is something that we need to do for ourselves and take the time out for ourselves and really address these things. And it's so easy for us to want to help other people and want to address other things to other people. But when it comes to ourselves, we be real lazy about it. And so I think that we got to put the work in ourselves. Okay, Shelley. So I hope that advice with Bryce helps a little, Shelley. I know it's a hard time, but listen, I know that you can get through it. And if any of my listeners, you guys need some advice with Bryce, or you know somebody that needs some advice with Bryce, just hit up me at purplepantspodcast@gmail.com, and you know your baby boy got you.
The following message is brought to you by Give Me a B.
B.
Give Me an A.
A.
Give Me an R.
R.
Give Me a B. 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 B.
Let me hear it.
B-A-R-B, bar, bar, bar. B-A-R-B, bar, bar, bar.
Hi, this is Miss Barb, and I'd like to share a few words with you today. You know, people wonder why I give so many compliments out to strangers. I'm not being fake, and I'm not looking for people to like me. But if I pass someone and I like something, I say it. Love those shoes, or great hair, or wow, your eyes are beautiful. Why? Because life is hard, and this world can be a nasty place, and people are mean. You never know how much those few words mean to someone. You never know what hell they may be going through. And when you put positivity out there into the universe, you yourself become a happier person. It's hard to be nice and be miserable yourself. It'll reflect from the outside in. I'm telling you, random compliment giving will change your life and maybe someone else's too. Love you.
Thanks, Mom, for another great installment of Barb's message. If you guys enjoyed this message or you got something out of it, you know what to do. Tweet me, DM me, let me know, because you know Miss Barb lives to hear for that type of stuff. That's kind of like her positive reinforcement, hearing things like that. And trust me, at a time like this, we all could use a little Barb's message.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
Yes, the freak of the week, baby. One of my favorite parts of this podcast. But also kind of makes me sad, because if we had the freak of the week, then that means we had the end of the podcast. But anyway, listen, back to the freak of the week. With everything going on, I tried to stay off the Instagram and the Twitters. So, you know, when I did occasionally check the Twitters and the Instagram, I was on my Instagram and I seen baby boy Nicklicious post something to his Instagram at NickWilson11 saying, business trip complete. My trip to Florida wasn't just all fun. Picked up this new toy at a deal that can only be described as the divorce special. Ready to go riding. And baby boy Nicklicious is sitting on one of these go-kart type of things, like, you know, and I'm like, what the hell, with his little blue shorts and his red shirt. And instantly seeing him on that took me back to Cambodia Second Chances, when Keith stole that little go-kart and was riding around in the go-kart just around and around. Remember that Second Chances? I was dying. So I saw this and I was like, baby boy Nick, what is you doing? What in the Keith is going on here? So yes, this week's freak of the week is Nicklicious. So you know what to do. Make sure y'all go to his Instagram page, NickWilson11, under that post, and let him know baby boy is the freak of the week. And with that being said, that's going to conclude this week's Purple Pants podcast. I just want to give a special shout out to everyone that has listened to this podcast. It definitely was a tough one for me to get through, but I thank you guys again for listening and hearing me talk. and, you know, being advocates and allies for everything that is going on. I greatly appreciate you. Make sure you go to that Apple Podcast and subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. If you haven't, tell a friend to tell a friend. Write me a review. Give me some 5 stars because, you know, your baby boy loves a 5-star, okay? And just remember, Purple Pants Podcast, there's a lot going on. And listen, we can combat a lot of things with understanding and love. So try to show some understanding and love during this difficult time of our nation. I greatly appreciate it, guys. And you know where to find me, okay? This time next week, Issa.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.